was how it began, and I don't wanna cause you pain. This ain't the way that I thought we would live. When I start to feel I'm in trouble again, I just keep it as friends, cause I know how it ends. When I feel like I'll be the devil again, I'll sit back and pretend like we both never met. I found courage at 16, but lost it at 23. I'm not okay, I'm not okay. And I lost my self-esteem, believing in a dream. I lost my faith, I lost my faith. Oh, oh. Hurt people, hurt people's how it began, and I don't wanna call you back. Far from your dreams. When the chaos comes, it'll sweep us away. I'm a slave to my ways. You deserve better days. You found courage at 16 and lost me when you let me. That's not okay. It's not okay. So don't lose your self-esteem. Believe in a dream and lose your way. Don't lose your faith. Oh.
Often bullies are individuals who themselves have undergone or are currently enduring some form of emotional or physical pain. When people get hurt in relationships and do not receive healing from the wounds, they have a logical and defensible tendency to become protective against more pain. Welcome, worldwide listeners, to Miss Inez Says. Let's talk about it. Hurt people, hurt people. Let's discuss what's really paining you and the people who hurt you by dialing in at 845-241-9985. Again, that number is 845-241-9985. I am your hostess, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Haku Designs. You can listen in, join in, log into the chat room, or just go ahead and call in at 845-241-9985 this evening, Thursday, January 19th, 23 on Miss Inez Says. Let's talk about it. Hurt people hurt people. We have the pleasure this evening of having Dr. Monica Y. Jackson, who was a guest on Let's Talk About It on July 28, 2022. Doesn't seem like it's that long ago, but that's been almost a whole, what do you call it, whole half a year. And so, and we discussed and who authored the Wisdom of Wounds book. She is also known as an author, a speaker, instructor, consultant, and has recently added coaching to her many accolades. So please give a round, an applause, a welcome, a wrong, literally, I can't even get my lips right, I'm just so excited about it. Please give her a welcome and a round of applause. Please put your hands together for Miss Dr. Monica. And, of course, we have my brother from another mother, Joe, out of Montana, who has also joined us. Welcome, Joe, and be nice because we have guests in the house, so please be nice. How are you doing, Joe?
I'm doing fine, thanks. And I never get
good,
that applause.
Good.
That's about the nicest I'm going to be. How you doing?
I'm well. I am good. I asked Dr. Jackson to come on board because of Hurt People, Hurt People, and she has authored the book, and I don't think you were on with us the evening that she talks about Wounds of Wisdom. You may have been in July, I'm not sure.
No,
back, and
I don't
I'm so
think
glad
so.
She's back. Good, because I know you had asked us to talk about.
Good evening, and thank you. Thank you for the invite again. I cannot believe that it was in July. It was that long ago. Wow.
That's what I'm saying. That's how fast time has flown. But I'm glad that Joe and you are on the line right now because Joe is the one who asked me to have this title because I'll let you explain it, Joe, why you wanted me to have this title.
Okay. First off, I want to say thank you, Inez, for listening. And like you always do, you say, well, if there's a topic, give it to me. And, I'll present it. So I'd like to thank you for the topic for tonight. Because I'm glad that you have the doctor on because we have somebody who's certified, somebody who's got a degree, somebody who can talk authoritatively about the psychology of relationships. So I'd like to say thanks, first of all, and thank you, doctor, for coming on. And the reason why I wanted this particular show is because I have a firm belief that what people want in relationships and what's the real problem is that we always want to know how to attract, how to keep the relationship, how to sustain it, and how to resolve conflict. So I boil it down to the major causes of all the problems that people have in those three areas are selfishness and trauma. And, of course, the irrational expectations that come that are commensurate along with those two umbrella categories. So that's my opinion. That's why I wanted the show. And again, thank you, Inez, because I think this could be a groundbreaking show since we had the doctor on. And hopefully that we have people who agree that those two or three particular topics or issues are the major causes of why relationships don't work.
All right, Dr. Jackson, you want to respond to that?
Oh, absolutely. I love it. I love it. Let me first say that my degree is PhD in philosophy, so I'm not a psychologist. The difference between that is that I study logic, wisdom, and truth. What I do is I evaluate situations and come to a realistic conclusion based on evidence, experiences, and knowledge. So you talked about relationships. How do you attract, keep, and sustain relationships and resolve conflicts? I talked critical thinking and problem solving for over a decade at the university level. And first and foremost, I think that, you know, you talked about it being selfish, trauma, and unrealistic expectations. The issue is, I think we go back to our foundation. We have never been taught self-love. We've never been taught that. So when we talk about relationships and attracting and keeping and sustaining, we're trying to become something that someone else wants us to be as opposed to who we are. And like I said, a lot of times we don't know who we are. Society has taught us and told us what love is, that you should be married, that you should do this, you should do that. But is it right for everyone? I think a lot of times we chase after things and people that aren't for us and never was meant for us. So I think first and foremost, you must know yourself. You have to know yourself. Why do you want to be in that relationship? Why do you want to be with that particular person? And I believe in peace. Anything and anybody that disturbs my peace, I don't want it. Now, I don't want it. I just don't want it. Why? Because that's self-love. And I think when you know yourself and love yourself enough to love yourself and give yourself permission to love yourself and you know what that feels like, you are not going to entertain, allow, or anything else to interject or conflict with your self-love. And so I think sometimes it's important to be selfish when it comes to self-care. And we are not taught that. We are taught total opposite. So, of course, if you're trying to attract, keep, and sustain a particular person who doesn't know who they are, and you are chasing after that, you're constantly running after something that you may never reach, attain. And so when you talk about unrealistic expectations, you know, a lot of people say that they have expectations of people. I don't have expectations. I have requirements. Big difference. So if you have requirements of people and they are not aligned with those requirements that you chose for yourself, because everyone's different, then you need to remove them, not try to attract, keep, sustain, or resolve that conflict, because they're not aligned with your requirements. So first of all, understand what your requirements are. Understand who you are and be you unapologetically and authentically, because you are not for everyone and everyone isn't for you. So does that help, Mr. Joe?
It does, and I agree with you about 98%. The 2% of which I do disagree is that to be yourself. I think it's the kind of advice which allows people to be themselves, and as a result, they continue to be that which doesn't attract the people that they believe that they should attract. It doesn't allow for them to look further into themselves to get that kind of self-respect that you're talking about, that self-love. Because if all the advice that mothers and fathers give their daughters and their sons is, just be yourselves, Jenny and Johnny. Don't worry. Well, no. I remember being on Eliza's show and telling her about one particular deficiency I had. I had a laugh that it sounded like fingernails on a blackboard. I was told about it by several people. Didn't know if it was true or not. You know, I didn't know if they were kidding me or if they were, just fooling around with me, until I heard myself on tape. And then when I realized that I had this ridiculous laugh, out it went, you know. But if I was just going to be myself, you know, and didn't take them seriously, you know, after a while, I would go along with this laugh. And I would just say, well, that's me. You know, love me, love my dog. You know, love me, love my laughter. No, the laughter was ridiculous. You know, it was something, like I said, it sounded like fingernails on a blackboard. There are people who slurp, you know. Yeah, there are people who slurp soup like they were born on a pig farm. You got to correct it. Now, to me, to be yourself means investigate yourself, take a look at those deficiencies, which are real deficiencies, correct them. Don't listen to everybody, of course. But if you really have a problem with a certain mindset or a personality, try to change it. Otherwise, you're going to go through life creating your own failures. So that's the 2% I disagree with you upon. The self-respect, absolutely. The self-love, as long as not narcissistic. There are people out here who believe that, you know, I love myself. And this is where selfishness comes in. I think what you were talking about, Doctor, was the kind of rational selfishness that somebody like Ayn Rand was a proponent of, is that I should think of myself as the most important person in the world. That doesn't mean that you're not important, but my requirement is that I deserve respect, consideration, et cetera, from everybody. And if I don't get it, then you're out. Goodbye, you know. But I also believe in, when we find a partner that we really like and we really want to love, maybe even do love, we want to share, you know. But narcissists don't want to share. They always want the other person to share. So I believe that that's where selfishness comes in, where I'm the center not only of my own world, but I'm the center of the universe. Everybody has to beckon to me. No. You know, and that's another, and a narcissist will really embrace that particular philosophy of, well, I'm just being myself. Well, yeah, but you're stepping on people's toes and you don't care, you know? So, and then when it comes down to trauma, that I think is a huge, huge element in why people do not attract, do not keep, and can't resolve conflict, because they've either been traumatized as a result of being abused or molested as children and forgotten perhaps a lot of what happened, or, you know, people go through rough teenage years and they just can't find a girl or a guy and they bring those past relationships, that baggage, you know, into current relationships. So, and that's trauma too. So, so those are my philosophies.
And you know, I agree with you to a certain degree. And here's the thing about it. It's not a matter of agreeing or disagreeing because everybody's individual. But most of the things that we say and go about life is because we've been taught that way. We've been told. But we don't necessarily know.
I agree.
And so if you have been in a certain environment and you have been told and taught certain things, that's your train of thought and train of reference. And it could be correct and it could be incorrect. And who says it's correct and who says it's incorrect? Where is the truth and who is it correct for? So, you know, you talked about your ridiculous laugh, but if that was your laugh, and you were okay with that laugh, and some people were okay with that laugh, then it's you. It's okay. Now, if you felt it was annoying, but if no one brought that to your attention and you kept laughing that way, that would have been okay. And so I say this because if we begin to embrace certain things and everybody gets on the bandwagon with that, then that's what we believe. If everybody told you that laugh was great, it wouldn't have been an issue. So it really depends on the environment that you're in, who you're around, and otherwise you're constantly shifting who you are. And sure, we have to adapt, and we have to be cognizant of how we are coming across, but again, someone may have loved that laugh. And there may not have been anything wrong with it.
Mm.
So, again, a lot of times what we do, we try to fit in certain pegs and certain molds and holes. And because we're doing that, you are constantly chasing something. And if you continue to do that, you eventually lose yourself. And you contribute to your own hurt and allowing other people to hurt you. So, again, I truly go back, you know, when I say being yourself, you have to know yourself, really, truly know yourself. And we have to take the time to know ourselves. And to do that, you literally have to unprogram a lot of the things that you thought and have been taught. And sometimes you have to deconstruct that stuff. Because right now, especially in this season of where we are in the world, everything goes. I mean, you know, you could be this one day, you could be that one day. You know, this is acceptable, that's acceptable, this is okay. And things are constantly changing. So if things are constantly changing, then do you change with those times, change with who you are, or do you remain who you are? And so, again, I if you're at peace with you, and I mean truly at peace, not allowing others to, you know, disrupt your peace, and you are not wounding others or causing problems for them, then be okay with who you are. Be content with where you are. You know, how do you shift loving yourself until and if you have someone that you can attract, keep, and sustain? In that meantime, you have to live. You have to learn to live and love yourself in the season that you're in. Because tomorrow is not promised. And I if you were to drop dead today, God forbid, you know, do so lovingly, with the love of loving yourself. Don't miss out because you feel like you're lacking something or you haven't attracted something that may or may never come. That's my interesting.
And also, Joe, he also, you know, when he meets a person, he has a pros and cons list, you know. And I thought that's interesting for when he meets people so that, you know if this person is or is not for you. I thought that was really, really great idea to have when you meet people, so that you know that you can still maintain yourself and yet, you know, if you like this person, can grow with them with their pros and their cons. And I thought that was really a great idea to have just in the back of my, or even in front of you sometimes and bring them out. You remember when this is what we said when we first met, blah, 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 blah. So I do. I just think it's a great thing because in that way it's on paper and you can't say, I didn't tell you, I didn't say so. So, you know, you can't be hurt or they can't be hurt by you going back to them saying, you know, this really hurts me or I really don't like this or I wish you wouldn't do this because of. So, you know, other people have to listen to us, to what we say as well. Is that not correct?
Yeah, you're talking about, yeah, a person shouldn't be blindsided. And to further elaborate on that particular philosophy of mine, it's not exactly when you meet somebody, but let's say you've been dating for a month or so and you feel that the person that you've been dating, you might get to really like him or her. And in order to avoid the percentages of failures which occurs in relationships very frequently here in America, you might want to have, and as the doctor was talking about, these requirements. I have my thing is that you take out a piece of paper and you put on it what you like about the other person, what you don't like about the other person, and you make it as clinical as possible. You don't make it romantic. And you have the other person do the same thing with a piece of paper so that you know what it is without somebody having false ideas about what the other person is. You know what the person doesn't like. And what Inez was talking about is so that when you enter into the relationship, the other person can't say, well, I didn't know that this bothered you. I didn't know that this was the way that you felt. No, this is right here on the paper. This is something you read. This is something you agreed to. This is a deal breaker of mine, or this is something that annoys me. And my philosophy is, you know, four strikes, you're out. If I say that this annoys me, and within a certain period of time, that particular annoyance, that nuisance comes up, we talk about it, and it still comes up, and you still do it, then I know that, hey, you agreed not to do this. You are doing it. We talked about it. You're continuing to do it. As far as I'm concerned, you know, you've got a problem. You knew exactly what it was that we wanted because we agreed to it. You're not fulfilling the condition. So we talked about it. Now, I got to go or you got to go. But, you know, there's no such thing as, you know, beating a dead horse.
Well, how about just allowing the person to be themselves and studying that person? You know, because if you take the time to allow someone to be who they are, and they'll show you who they are, you're going to find out whether without even having to listen to the pros and the cons, you're going to see them. And then you can address those. And if that person is able and willing to make the adjustments, then they can. But when you're first meeting someone, you kind of meet their representative. They're on their best P's and Q's, so to speak. And so if you kind of bring the notch down and just allow them to be themselves, just allow them to be comfortable. You want to see the authentic person as opposed to feeling like an interview or you're trying to, you know, make something happen in a certain period of time. And so sometimes we have these checklists. We have these checklists of what we want in these relationships, but as I speak in my book, yeah, you can have the checklist, but you may get all of that, but what you don't know is you're going to get a whole lot of stuff that you wasn't even on the checklist that you knew nothing about.
Wow.
So, when you start making these lists of pros and cons, you're kind of, you know, setting yourself up as opposed to, you know, like I said, let's just allow this person to be, okay? And as you see certain things, you know, give them time to evolve. And because you're going to know if that's going to work for you or not. And some people will modify who they are and their behavior to fit what they want from you until they decide to move on. So we have to be real careful with that. You know.
I like that.
There's no magic wand. Or a match deal. But we have to be real about serving. And here's the other thing. You make this list, here's the pros and cons. Well, that's what you're getting today. What are you getting tomorrow? What are you getting a year from now? People change. Situations change. So if you know who they are and allow them to be themselves, their authentic self, and if that aligns with who you are, then go for it. If it doesn't, walk away.
Yeah, well, that's what I've been saying. I don't know if you – when, in your mind, when do you think that I take out the pros and cons, as you say it?
Well, you know, I don't – you can't say, okay, in a week's time you do this. You have to – first and foremost, you have to understand the reason why you're going into that relationship. What do you want from that relationship? And first and foremost, find out what that person wants from that, from a relationship. If you are not in the same place of why you want to be in a relationship, and that's the first thing you need to find out, then you need to move on because that person isn't where you want to be. So if that person, if you just think, if you're marriage-minded and you want to be married in 6 months and this person never wants to be married, just want to be in a relationship, but likes you, you have to find that out. So, if you allow them to be who they are, there's no time frame. When you allow people to be who they are, people will always show you who they are, always, without you trying to find out who they are within a certain period of time. So you have to look Go ahead.
Well, my question to you was, when in your mind, when do you think that I pull out this piece of paper and do this pros and cons?
Well, I don't know that I would ever pull out a piece of paper and do pros and cons. And the reason why is because that's an instant in time. You can evaluate that person, you know, subconsciously in your own mind, your pros. You know your pros, and you know what's a deal breaker for you. So if you're allowing this person to be themselves without pulling out this piece of paper and having them do the same because they're trying to align with who you are, you'll discover that. You can do this without literally pulling out paper because, like I said, what you have today may not be who you have tomorrow. So are you looking at this person better or worse, you know, in sickness and health, till death do us part? Or not?
Okay. Maybe I'm not making myself clear. It's not about whether or not you, what you particularly think about the pros and cons. I'm asking you, from the discussion that I said and from what Inez said, when, in your mind, what do you, when do you think I pull out the piece of paper?
I thought I was
not that I should.
That.
I'm saying when. From what I've said and from what Inez has said, when is it in your mind that I, when I meet somebody, that I pull out and do this particular activity?
I wouldn't ever do it. If it's important to you to do, and that's important for your relationship, then you need to do that.
I'm not asking about, Doc, I'm not asking about what you would do. I'm saying when...
When I pull
out the piece of paper, when do I do it? Uh-huh. Do I do it? No. When, from the discussion, do you estimate that I have done it? I'm not saying when I should. I'm asking you, from what you've heard, when do you think that I have done it? At what particular point in the relationship?
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know when you have done it.
All right, I said after dating somebody for like a few weeks, couple of months, when you are ready and think that you're going to be, you want a relationship, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So after being with somebody for a couple of months, you have seen a lot, hopefully a lot, of what the other person has shown you. They haven't shown you everything because, again, they're hiding their best stuff or their worst stuff. They're showing you the representative. Also, you said that you have requirements, not just expectations. Well, my requirements are on paper. So your requirements are in your mind. My requirements are on paper. I don't take it out on the first date, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm saying if I think that she may be relationship material, I don't want to go into a relationship like everybody else does on a hope and a prayer and a dream, okay? I don't want to have to say to somebody, I really like you. I think we should be exclusive. We shouldn't see anybody else. And she says yes, and I've only known her for 2 months, 3 months, and then find out 2 or 3 more months down the line that she is a penny. She's somebody who's wasting my time. She's somebody who showed me her representative but is now showing me the Mr. Hyde side of her. I want to know up front what I can expect. So I want to find out from her what she expects from me, what I can expect from her, what we can agree to. Those are my requirements. That's something that she agrees to. And to me, it's logical. It's a way of going into a relationship with your eyes wide open as opposed to, as you were talking about, a lot of times our personalities are formed by what we're told, what society says. A lot of women have their ideas of what romance is, what relationships are based upon their comic books and Disney, okay? And then, and men get conditioned from their fathers and their mothers to be, certain types of gentlemen. et cetera. So I don't do it right away. I do it after finding out when somebody is showing me, hopefully a good percentage of who she is. So I want to make that clear in your mind, because it did sound to me like you thought that, you know, after a week, a day, two dates, let's go do this evaluation. Nah, it's premature, you know? So
okay,
I wanted to make sure that you understood that. Okay.
So how has that worked for you? How has that pros and cons list worked for you? Because there are no guarantees unless, you know, the person literally you have chosen, you know, when you listen to certain vowels, better or worse, sickness and health. If these are the foundations that you both agree to and believe in, okay. Are they absolute? No. Do you go in relationships on a hope, prayer, and dream? Oftentimes you do. Otherwise, they would last.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have
otherwise,
to be real.
Otherwise what?
Otherwise, they would last. Otherwise, relationships would last.
They would last?
They would last.
You're saying they would last?
Yes. So you do go in on a hope. You do go in on a prayer. You do go in on a dream. But you have to look at, is this person, can I work with this person? Is this person willing to work with me? Will this person compliment me? Will I compliment this person? Are we here through thick and thin? Is this my ride or die? Again, you don't know that. You hope it, you pray
precisely.
It, and you dream it. You don't. So you don't.
That's right.
You literally don't know. And for those who have been married a long time, some of them aren't happy. Some of them are there barely. Some of them there are lovingly, but they have gone through stages in their life where things and they've changed. Some things that were deal breakers for them in the early 20s and 30s at 50, 60, 70 is no longer a deal breaker. So, again, there's no answer. Now, some people believe, okay, you know, they're soulmates and you know, God sends you someone and you know, this is your Adam or your rib, you know, your Eve. And some people believe that. And for some, it works that way. For others, it doesn't. So, again, there is no absolute. And I think we look for absolutes, and that's what hurt us. That's what harms us. And so we stay in relationships and places, again, where we never should have been, where we probably should have left sooner. So we don't get wounded. So we have to look at, what are we looking for? What are we seeking? And again, we can only control ourselves, our requirements, and you're trusting someone else that they're doing the same. But there are no guarantees. There aren't any guarantees in that. We want them to be. We hope people would be that way. However, we have to look at some of our experiences, use wisdom, be truthful. You know, what's a fairy tale? You know, you talk about this. I can't remember the fairy tale you mentioned. You know, are we trying to live this fairy tale lifestyle? I'm not saying that it's not possible. Some people can. Some people can. But every relationship is going to be different. Every person is going to be different. Who you think you should be it with, maybe you need to evaluate that. Is this really the person that I should be with? Are these the characteristics that, of the person I want to be with? Where do I get these characteristics or these expectations from? Are these realistic for me? So sometimes we want what's on the other side of the grass, not knowing what it took to get there, and are we able to endure that?
I disagree with everything you say. Everything
okay.
You say.
Oh, wow.
Everything
and
is because it's, Yeah, I mean, we can agree and disagree. The thing is,
correct,
you're saying go ahead, just plunge on in and see what happens, okay? Because you have requirements, I've got requirements, but then again, people do have their expectations. When you take a look at the success ratio of relationships in this country, it's dismal, okay? You have 53 or 56% of first-time marriages ending up in divorce. Now, these are people who proclaim their love for one another through death do us part. But yet, separation and divorce is imminent here in America. And then you would think that people would learn from their mistakes. But the two-time divorcees, or let's say the two-time married people, they have something like a 60% divorce rate. So people are not doing what they should do. And these are people who proclaim their love for one another. When you take a look at the ordinary relationship in America, how long does it last? How fulfilling is it? People are cheating on each other all the time. People always walk into a relationship with certain expectations and requirements, even though they haven't codified. But they get disappointed all the time. And they're disappointed because of unrealistic expectations, selfishness, and the trauma. People who are traumatized cannot have a good relationship, yet they're being themselves. Okay? They are being themselves 100%. But anytime they're in a relationship, they can't have a fulfilling relationship because by being themselves, they're afraid of the relationship. They're afraid of being rejected. When you're selfish and you feel entitled to everything, you believe you're the heart of the universe. So when somebody else comes along, they're supposed to, kowtow to you. Again, that person is being themselves. Those people have to change. People have to change their deficiencies within themselves in order for them to have fulfilling relationships. If they're going to continue being themselves, being as selfish as they are, entitled, or being as experiencing trauma as they do, they're going nowhere. There has to be a change. There has to be something different.
Somebody who's in trauma is not being authentic. They're living in trauma. They're not being themselves. They're responding because of the trauma. That is not them. That is not their authentic self. That trauma has caused them to shift their authenticity. So they aren't. And when we talk about changing, we have no control over changing other people. So when we say people have to change, we have no control. We can't make them change. They are who they are. And so if you think you can change someone, that's also a source of pain. Some people you can help to modify, and some you can't. So again, that the expectations that people have to change, the reality is you quoted some statistics. The reality is some people aren't going to change. And we have to deal with the reality of these things. If people were more adaptable and changing, then maybe some relationships would last and would work. But the reality is this is who this person is and this is who people are. And it's a choice to accept them or not. But if we can't change people.
No, that's not what I meant. I'm not saying that people should go into a relationship and change the other person. I'm saying that we should change ourselves if we find that what we're doing isn't working. Now, most people do not have either long-lasting relationships or worthwhile relationships, and they have to take a look at themselves and ask themselves, where's the problem? How much of the problem is me, and how much of the problem is the other person? That's what I mean. I'm not saying that I don't go into a relationship trying to change that person. I want to know up front what that person's like.
Okay. I agree that you can't, again, at a certain point in life, I think people are going to be who they are. They're not going to make an adjustment. Some people are just not going to make adjustments. And that's reality. And that's something
and that's the
that, well, I'm not saying it's a problem. I don't think it's a problem. I say it's not a problem because that's who they are. That's who they choose to be. And I have a choice to align with them or not. So it's not a problem. It's not my problem because I'm not going to align with that if that doesn't fit me, if it doesn't suit me. So I'm not going to say that what somebody is doing or how they are, that's a problem. No, what I say is that's not something I want to deal with. So I have to move on or stay by myself.
Oh, well, yeah, that's what I do too, but at the same time, by letting people know, see, people go to relationship counselors and psychiatrists and psychologists because there's a problem either with them or with the relationship or with the other person. There's a problem in that relationship somewhere. Now, if I come across somebody and that person, as you say, is in alignment with me, you know, what do I say, Inez? I say, hasta la vista, baby, you know? But the thing is that if people have the philosophy that, you know, again, most people do not have good relationships, even if they're in long-term relationships. They're complaining about it. In England, they started either last year or the year before. They started a government agency, the Queen's Agency of Loneliness. They found out that one out of six people in the UK and in the United States, I believe, too, admit on surveys that they're lonely. Okay, one out of six. People do not know how to enter into a worthwhile relationship. That's a fact. They just go along with the flow, see what happens. There has to be a better way, okay? One of the better ways is finding out what is the cause of why relationships don't work. Now, more people who do investigate that and try to find out, you know what? You know what? Sometimes, it's probably me. It may be because, geez, I slurp too loudly. I keep touching people all the time. They don't want to be touched. I keep interrupting people all the time. When a person finds out those particular deficiencies, for example, they should change. They can't say, you know what? That's my authentic self. That's just the way I'm going to stay. I like doing that. I like touching people, even though it annoys 95% of everybody I'm doing it to. I like slurping from a spoon because, you know, I just like it, you know, and people have to accept it. But if you go through life saying that, and you only meet one out of every 20 girls who are going to accept you with those deficiencies, I think it's time to change. I think somebody should wake up, smell the coffee, and say, you know what, it could be me.
But you said something. You said if one out of 20 women accept him, that's the only one that he needs to be focusing on. That's the only one he needs to be focusing on. You only should be going after that woman.
Yeah. If you meet 20 girls in a week, that's fine. But if you're only meeting 20 girls every 2 years or so, maybe. And if that one girl you meet that could be somebody that you could align with, that you just don't align with at that particular time, then you got to go on to the next 20. 5% isn't that bad of a compared to what I believe. I think 1-2% of people in America can't hook up properly. A lot of times they stay together out of convenience because they're lonely and for other reasons. But I don't think many people in America, relationships or otherwise, are happy with their relationships. Again, the statistics show 53% of married people get divorced. They don't divorce because they're happy. 60% divorce the next time. And how many long-term relationships are there in America who aren't married? A lot. Everybody knows somebody who's been together 10 years, 40 years, 20 years. We also know a lot of people who date a lot or don't date very often because they can't find somebody that they can, in your words, align with. There's a problem in America. There's a problem all over the world, actually, you know? So,
well,
and again,
I don't call it a problem. I don't call it a problem. I call it is what it is because there's nothing that I can do about it anyway. There's nothing you can do about that. So we're focusing on, a lot of times we focus on things that we can't change. And so I personally choose to focus on things that are in my control and power to change. I can't control the divorce statistics. I can't control the unhappy relationship, the number of statistics of what doesn't last. All I have control over is who I am, who I choose to be, my characteristics, and aligning with someone who aligns with me. That's all I have control over. So there's so much going on, and I think we focus on or allow ourselves to be consumed with things that we just flat out can't change. We just can't change things. And that's the source of hurt, and pain. And so, if you look at it as a problem, okay, it is a problem. But how do you solve that problem? It's not a problem that you can solve. You only can solve issues that you have control over. And until the world becomes aligned and everybody becomes aligned with same values, same principles, same morals, then it's possible. But everybody has different beliefs, different experiences. If they date with purpose, some date frivolously. You talk about dating 20, out of the 20 people that you meet, well, perhaps we have to switch the way you date to be intentional. Because now it's a number game. It sounds like it's a number game. And perhaps it's not, okay, well, you know what? What am I dating for? What am I looking for? How do I find that? Is it, a number game? Okay, you go out and meet these 20 people, and then there's one. Again, if that works for you, it works for you. But for most people, it doesn't. So again, you talked about people being lonely. That loneliness is a choice. Loneliness is a choice. Again, when you love yourself enough to love yourself, you're going to do things that are lovely for you, that makes you happy to love yourself. And so what fulfills you? What do you enjoy doing? It doesn't have to be a lonely place just because you're not with someone or not in a relationship. Is marriage for everyone? No. So a lot of times, again, condition. Society says that you should be married. But again, it makes you feel deficient because you're not. There's something wrong with you. Maybe there isn't. But if you subscribe to that, and that's your belief, then you're always going to be unfulfilled and feel lonely. And sometimes you have to accept where you are. It's a choice. To accept where you are and love yourself and find things that are fulfilling. So what happens when maybe you're in a relationship and then you're a widow? Now you have to learn to readjust to life again. So, again, I don't think there's any absolute. I don't think there's any answers. I don't think there's right or wrong answers. It's each individual person's experiences, beliefs, choices, and their approach. That's just my
thought. Well, if there wouldn't be any answers, then the field of psychiatry and psychology wouldn't be in existence. Don't know how effective they are. Who knows? The thing is that you also said people have to have the right morals and values, which is something I've said, and Inez can attest to it all the time, is that if you don't have the right morality, the right mindset and interest in ethics, then you're going nowhere. if you don't have interests that you can share with somebody, then you're going to bore each other after a while. If you don't have the same morality, if you're doing things only out of expediency as opposed to doing the right thing, then you're going to ruin the trust that the hope and the prayer and the dream that made it based on. So, but you can be by yourself. You don't have to be extremely lonely. But the thing is that fulfillment isn't going to be accomplished by yourself. Never has been. You can be content by yourself. You don't have to be extremely lonely by yourself. But we, as the two-legged mammals that we are, we operate better when we have somebody that we can call our best friend, somebody that we can share our vulnerabilities with, and somebody we can share our experiences and our victories with. And what good does it do to win the Super Bowl if you don't have anybody to share the trophy with? You won the Super Bowl, you feel happy. You're joyous for a little time. But who cares? Right?
Well, but you have to have...
You want to share it.
But you may have to find your own tribe, a different tribe. Again,
of
expectations.
Course, of course you do.
Correct. And so, you know, you don't have to be lonely. You don't. I mean, there are, it may not be the ideal or what you think is ideal, but there are ways and people that will fulfill you. I mean,
what kind
I think
of ways?
It depends on what you desire as far as fulfillment. Is it companionship?
And then,
is it someone that you can trust?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead,
Inez. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. And then you got to ask yourself, why am I lonely in a world full of people? You know, am I, like you said, am
That's
I lonely
right.
by choice? You know,
right.
or, you know, have I not found the person who likes to slurp soup up with me or likes the way that I laugh or likes the freckle on the side of my face or the mole where it is or whatever? And sometimes you may have to put an ad in the paper. Hey, this is me. You know, come and meet the real me. I slurp soup and I, you know, snore at night and blah, 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 blah. Sometimes you have to open up yourself and put yourself out there in plain naked view so that somebody can love you the way that you want to be loved for you and not try to please this person and that person. Because if that were the case, you're going to be lonely forever and ever. Amen. Because you're trying to change, you know, for somebody who you don't even know, and they may not even like the way after you change. And so you got to, you know, find that person like, hey, this is who I am. You know, we can see if this is going to work out or not. But, you know, I'm not changing because, you know, this is who I am. But I'm not changing because you're asking me to. I'm changing because I want to.
And we have to look at those changes. Are they temporary or are they long-term? You know, because some things are just ingrained in you. That's just who you are, you know. And if you're trying to change certain things, at some point, if you're changing with the intent and purpose of fulfilling someone else, you become unfulfilled because it becomes a chore at that point. So you have to be
miserable.
Correct, and trying to adapt to other people. And, yeah, it might sound selfish to be yourself, but we have to be, we don't know anything else but to be ourselves if we know who we are.
That's it. That's right.
You know, that's all
right.
We know. And so if you are, I mean, you know who you are. You know this is what works for you. This is what you choose to work for you. And if somebody doesn't like that, and you're constantly trying to change that about yourself, you're miserable. You're going to be miserable at some point because you can't keep trying to measure up, and then you find out, okay, but that didn't work, and the person's gone, and now you're upset, well, I changed this, and I did this for this person, and they still left. Well, again, sometimes you have to say, this is who I am. They either accept it or they don't. I mean, yeah, it may sound a little harsh, and it may sound, you know,
but it's not.
Again, but
it's not. But it's not. It's not harsh. I mean, God, there's somebody out there for each and every one of us. We just either have to be patient and wait for God to send them our way, or just be patient and or not have anybody. Because, I mean, I'm okay the way that I am, but, I mean, I'd love to have someone next to me. But I'm okay, you know, in the situation that I'm in, because I can come and go and roam around the world the way that I want to come and go and roam around the world. I don't have to do anything. All right, fellas, if anybody's out there listening, I'm going to be me. I just said as country as I want to, but I am going to be myself. That's better for those of you who didn't understand the other language. But, you know, because that song that Billy Joel says, don't go changing to try to please me, because if the person falls in love, they're going to fall in love with you and all of you and all your faults. Mm-hmm. And the one that song that Don Legend says, I can't think of it, you know, all your faults and all whatever the song is, I can't think. And there's ordinary people. So, I mean, you've got to take a good look at yourself and find out what you want that will please you, and not find somebody who, you know, may look good, but they may not please you, okay? And then you're going to be, you know, all upset, but miserable, like Dr. Monica said, because you know, I did all this and did all that just to have somebody not even care, you know, that I did all this to do all that so that I can, you know, love them. Well, they loved you from Jump Street, you know, evidently because you got with them. So, you know, it's, no matter how you look at it or how you try to change it, you have got to be you and you have got to love you. And you have got to let the person who comes into your life love you. And if they don't love you, then you don't need them. If they don't love you for you, I should say, then you don't need them.
Now, and a lot of people have this, you know, I hear it a lot of times where people feel like in relationships, this because a person is a certain way that they just have to get in to fit in. Well, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. If you have lowered yourself to the point of you just want to fit into somebody's life, you know, you lowered yourself just to be with that person. And so now you've given this control over to this person to manipulate, and now you're in a place where you are aiming, what you basically said is, I'm going to become what this person wants me to become.
Then get a robot. Get a robot and program a robot. Get artificial intelligence, okay? Irona, whatever the robot's name was, or Rosie, or whoever. I'm going to program Cortana, who else is it? Google, Alexis, or whoever else to be the person that I want to be. Because that's basically what it's going to boil down to. You are trying to, you know, please everybody and everything, you know. You know, you either love me for me or don't love me at all.
And that's a lot of the problems with relationships, trying to be what somebody else wants you to be.
Or think that they want you to be. Because,
correct.
You know, because they got with you for a reason, you know. And we even talked about it in our conflict resolution and are you dateable or date able. We've been through some everything. Because what did we talk about? We talked about things that we like to do. We talked about things that, you know, what makes us happy at the end of the day. We talked about these things. And I talked about, you know, what is it, that kind of dating, speed dating, you know. And then this one person who I'm waiting to come on the line but hasn't come on the line yet, Mr. Solution, if you're out there and listening, you know, you need to join us because I like to hear from you. But, you know, he has somebody go out and basically find women or what, you know, for him. It's like, that's kind of crazy. Why do you want to go out and have somebody find, can't you go out for yourself? Oh, talk about the devil, look who just arrived. But I just think that I really do think that, you know, we need to be ourselves and, you know, and quit trying to be phony baloney and, you know, fairy Mary and you know, quick, tricky dick, whatever, you know, just be yourself. We have Laquita who has joined us and Solution who has just joined us. So I want to welcome those two to the show tonight. Hurt people hurt people. So we have on the line, we have Dr. Monica Y. Jackson. She is the author of Wounds of Wisdom. She has been wonderful this evening. This is a topic that my brother Joe from Another Mother asked me to bring. And I'm so glad that Dr. Monica was able to join us tonight because I think she's helped answer a lot of questions that people have out there. I've been getting texts back and forth and texting a lot of people, and I just appreciate everybody who has joined in and who is listening in the background. So thank you, thank you, thank you if you haven't heard from me. So welcome to the show, Laquita and Solution.
Hey, hey, my friend.
Good evening, everyone.
Hello.
Hey, just briefly, if I may go, or is it the lady?
You can go ahead.
Briefly, go ahead.
Sure. Well, what I see here, I'm looking at multiple studies that say, and hopefully this sort of addresses what you guys are, the conundrum that you guys are addressing here. Women say 80% of men are below average. So what you have basically is 80% of women, American women, only find 20% of the men acceptable to them. So hence, this is one reason women will say, well, men are players. It's because they are dating a very small pool of men. I mean, I don't want to be accused of being off topic, but is this consistent with what you guys are trying to analyze?
I'm not sure that is, but, you know, I think that, you know, if you're going to date, you need to, first and foremost, date with intention. If you're out there dating 100 different people, you're just out there. So, again, if you're out of that 100 and you're not selected, you're basically saying that only 20% are acceptable. Well, you haven't vetted them. I mean, how can you draw those statistics if you haven't, you're just basically going out with anybody and everybody?
Okay, these are not my statistics. These are pretty standard. So what we're saying here, if this is true, see, men are not going to meet every woman. That's not mm-hmm. possible. But if most women are this way, then, of course, this means that most women do not find 80% of men desirable. What has happened is men have made it so comfortable that they have put themselves out of a job as far as women. Women have found independent empowerment. That's the way they look at it, even if it's delusional. And it's not interdependent empowerment. So a lot of women would rather die with their cats and dogs juxtaposed to being with a qualified man. And it's not that their standards are too high; they're patently unreasonable. I think men are going to have to look to other cultures where women are more traditional, where they appreciate masculinity more than they do in America. In America, masculinity, even though it has built and maintained the society, seems trash to most women because they are living a delusion.
I don't know that they're living delusional.
Can I ask a question? Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Hey. Hi, Dr. Monica. It's Laquita. How are you?
Hello. Hi, dear. How are you?
Good. I'm just curious, the person that was speaking, I'm just curious, the survey or the poll Who were the women, or where were they? Where did they? What was the history of that, or the nature of that survey?
Like, well, this,
did they survey a certain age group of women? Were the women in a certain demographic? Were the women? Because I would challenge that.
Well, that's a good question, LaQuisha or LaQuita?
It's LaQuita.
LaQuita, yes, nice to meet you. Well, what I would just encourage you to do, first of all, this was dealt with online dating, all right? And these are, it's been multiple surveys, if you please. And just type in study, 80% of women only attracted to 20% of men. And you'll get a number of hits that will come up, and you may peruse it for yourself. But also, anecdotally, I can tell you that unless a man – now, I can pretty much get whatever woman I want. I have to buy her. She's for sale. You guys laugh, but IG, OnlyFans, et cetera, et cetera. You can get her that way, but that's not considered healthy from a practical man's point of view. And it makes it purely transactional, which I consider taking the human element out of it. But nevertheless, if you have these skewed statistics, you're going to have a huge problem. And it's our culture. Our culture really motivates and really stimulates this kind of behavior. Because there's no, there's no accountability for women. There's no accountability, so they can behave this way, and they do. Inez, just one thing I want to refer to you. You saw the woman's dating standards that said the woman with the longest dating list ever, I believe Steve Harvey was interviewing her.
Right.
Why don't you share that with the good doctor and see what she has to say about with Ms. Dr. Monica and see what she has to say about that? Because we need to, in my humble opinion, we need to bring together as much of the evidence as we can to get a clear picture. That's called research.
And research can be a period in time. It can be based on demographics. It changes. It's not absolute. 10 years from now, it's different. So, you know, sometimes you can't, as a researcher who collects data, who analyzes data, it's not always accurate when you're dealing with human subjects because you're dealing with their emotions at that time, their feelings at that time. And if you take that, if they take that same survey over, you know, when they're feeling better or feeling worse a week later, the results may be different.
Exactly.
That's the reality of data.
Exactly.
Yeah, and research can be, But what do people here think is the major reason why relationships do not work?
Poor communication.
Because we don't know the purpose of it.
Okay.
We don't know the purpose of relationships. We haven't aligned.
You don't know the what?
We don't know the purpose of relationships. We have an idea of what we want in a relationship, but truly speaking, most people don't know the purpose of relationships. And your view and somebody else's view may be totally different. So when it's not aligned, there's no absolute. So when you talked about accountability for women, it's not necessarily that they're not accountable. We're not accountable. Sometimes you just have to deal with the hand that you're dealt with. So if you're
more
independent.
What does that mean?
That means that life circumstances, however you have experienced it, you have to make certain choices. So if you grew up in a certain environment and things didn't go right, you either sink or swim. And so sometimes you have to do other things that you become more independent, so to speak, or you become more the masculine, as people say. But If you didn't, you stay where you are. So, again, you have to take control of where you are and where you want to go. And so some of us have had to
do that. So how do you do that? So
how
do
you
do
that?
You get a chance.
Repeat, somebody said something?
I said, how do you do that? Well, Quita said communication. A lot of times people say communication is the key. So communication is an important part of trying to find a good relationship. Are there other elements that we can talk about that will help people get their relationships?
Well, first of all, you talk about communication, but the thing about it is if you're not communicating on somebody's level or in a way that they can understand it, you can just talk to your blue in your face. It doesn't matter.
Well, that's
so
true.
You know, it doesn't matter. If somebody has a certain belief, I don't care what you say, what you do, that's their belief and they're standing on it. And so that's not some things you just can't waste your time on. I'm sorry, you know, and if you
that's
choose
true
to,
too.
That's your choice. That's your choice.
Let me see if I get this right from you, doctor. Let me see if I get this right from you. You believe in alignment. Solution. What do you think is the major cause of why people don't have good relationships?
Well, they're multitudinous, but mainly it is with the women, because if this figure is any way correct, this means that out of hand women are rejecting the men, period. And I encourage anyone to look at that Steve Harvey session where the woman had this, I'm going to say, this infinite dating list, and a lot of those were contradictory, by the way. But one thing I would suggest, so that we get a relatively soft landing, and each one of us has anecdotal evidence or experience with this, is approach it indirectly, not directly. And that is, try to introduce two people whom you know would be somewhat compatible and see how that works out. That would give people more of a hands-on, juxtaposed to this armchair, distant, attempting to analyze and contend with the problem. Is try to introduce two people that you know as often as you can and just listen to their feedback.
Well, can I share something?
Is there anything?
Reverend Ron.
I knew that was Reverend Ron.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. How y'all doing?
Hey, how are you, sir?
Dr. Monica, how are you?
Good evening. I'm great.
You know, I want to share a slight of an experience. And I must say that God enlightened me on this point of view. The perfect woman in my head, for me, do not exist in this world we live in. She's not going to be in the next beautiful, fine woman that I meet, whether she's independent or whether she have it all together or whatever. That woman, perfect woman in my head, don't exist in reality. She only exists in my head. Now, the woman that I meet, or the woman that comes into my life, well, then I'll have to cultivate her and educate her into the woman that I want her to be for me, the ideal of the perfect woman in my head. But she's not going to come ready for that. So I must give time to get to know the person that I meet. Because me just seeing her, and she looked like she got it all together, then I put this perfect woman in her. It's not going to work. I'll be disappointed every time because it wasn't her. She exists in my head, but not in my reality until she's cultivated to be that perfect woman. And what do I measure her by? I got scripture to measure mine by. Proverbs 31.
Pastor, I would like to comment on that, if I may.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, you need to invert that equation. invert your equation, it will work a lot better. See, because what's happening is many men have no on-ramp to do what you just said. And I don't know how long you've been married, but if you're married,
I'm a widow,
right?
Now. I'm a widow now.
Okay. How long were you, I'm sorry to hear that. How long were you married?
Nearly 20 years.
All right. Well, see, two things. Number one, you were out of the dating market, and if you're a pastor, you're probably saturated with women. So your chances of meeting a compatible one whenever, you know, if you're out of the grieving stage, whenever you do, then, of course, you are surrounded by many women. But that is not the plight of the average American man. He's got to go a-hunting, okay, as it were. And if the prey is being unreasonable, evasive, and elusive, that's not going to help his situation or hers very much. And I would encourage you to look at that, Steve Harvey. And, of course, you can share it with him, Inez, just to get a picture. It's not a total picture, but it gives you somewhat of an idea of what dating men have to deal with. And then you compile that with women who only go out with the man for a meal, and that's entered into the American Psychological Association Journal. You know, that's codified. And so if you would invert your equation, it would be a much better equation on the order of Ruth, because Ruth got up off of her lovely, took us.
Well, not Ruth now. Ruth is not the woman that I was talking about. I was talking about the virtuous woman.
No, Ruth was a virtuous woman. I'm just giving an example, which a lot of times Christians, I'm one myself, they tend to resist the practical application of biblical principles. Ruth went after Boaz, and had she not done it, of course, with the advice of Naomi, it wouldn't have happened. So I think
Speaking of Ruth, dear brother, she was coached.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I understand
so
that.
So women nowadays have been trained to look for what a man can do for them and what he's supposed to do. They was trained at home. They was trained at home what a man's supposed to do, but a lot of them wasn't taught what they supposed to do for the man as well.
Agreed, 100%.
Okay, but now what, since we know that we have this dilemma, even when they're talking about independent and all this kind of thing and degrees and all this good stuff, well, we know that degrees, independence, is not going to help them at 2 o'clock in the morning when they want a man
or a woman. Delusional, so they're not going to see that as a drawback.
But what I'm saying here is we as men, when we meet these women, okay, and some of these women coming out of bad relationships and different things, just life letdowns. Well,
right, that they chose, by the way.
We as men, when we learn the woman, observe her, learn her, understand where she is physically, morally, spiritually, intellectually, when we see this woman for who she is, then we are able as cultivators to help her. Now, if we want to train this woman to be the perfect woman in our mind, then it's going to take time on our part. So we can't go looking at her ready to fulfill a wifely part when she's never had that in her.
Right, but Pastor, let me back you up just a moment if you don't mind. See, okay, that's not a man's responsibility. That's hers. She needs to go recognize her insufficiencies and get on the therapist's couch herself. She needs to do work.
If she went and got on the therapist's couch.
Fellas, men, the topic of the night is hurt people. That's the topic of the night. Now, if you want to talk?
Yes.
Right. And so we want to talk about virtuous women. We could talk about virtuous women on another evening, but tonight is hurt people. That's okay. No, that's okay. I just want to get us back on topic because Dr. Monica, she was at the beginning, was going through a very good, I won't say speech, but talk with Joe as far as, you know, helping people who have been hurt and how to figure out what to do. So that's what our topic is for the evening.
Well, Inez, therapy, I hope, with dealing with hurt, and I think you're talking about emotional and psychological, that would be a major answer, no?
What's that?
No, I don't know if you heard what my response to the pastor was, is that, I would say we all need therapy, all right, in this particular area. And I think if we seek it out, it will help that hurt. Yes?
Dr.
The trauma that we feel, we do, if not therapy, we do need more information, which is the purpose of this particular show tonight, is to try to find out, in brief ways, what people's opinions are about how to overcome what I consider to be the major reasons why relationships are not working. Now, everybody else, with their opinions, were layers on top of what I consider to be the major causes. When Dr. Monica was speaking, she was talking about the culture, as what Solutions was talking about, what we learn as children, what we grow up with, and the same thing as what Reverend Ron was talking about how we are trained to expect certain things from other people. From what I understand, from what I've gotten from what Dr. Monica was saying, was that just try to find it. If you can, you can. If you can't, you can't. You just continue moving on. That's not my philosophy. Of course, it's the price what people have to do. But for people who want to try to find a better way than just playing the numbers game, you have to try to find out, okay, is the cause me, him, her, why, what, and then go from there. I've already disagreed with what Dr. Monica was saying about being yourself. I don't believe that a person, you know, who has very obvious deficiencies should continue in life with those deficiencies, alienating people and expecting to find a relationship when if he or she just got rid of those deficiencies, there would be a better chance. So my particular purpose for tonight was to try to find out how to better the probabilities of finding somebody that is good for you. Do we change ourselves? Now, we can't change other people per se, but in accordance with what the Reverend was saying, if you find somebody that you feel you're committed to, you can try to let that other person know about, baby, this is what I do for you. This is what I would like for you to do for me. Right. We should get together. Am I right or am I extrapolating too much, Reverend?
No, you're right on point. Keep going.
Okay. So that person should want to change. Now, I'm not talking about compromising principles. I'm talking about changing deficiencies that are fairly obvious. Mm-hmm. So if a person insists upon keeping those deficiencies, that person to me is a fool. If they're rationally alienating people, don't do it. If you're slurping, if you're belching, if you're farting, if you're always interrupting, stop. Those are natural causes of discontent to other people. So that's why, hurt people, hurt people is the topic of the show, because when people are hurt, traumatized, which is one real strong pillar of why people cannot get along with other people. The other pillar is selfishness. The other one is unreal expectations, which is a derivative of both of them. So, Laquita was saying one of the solutions is communication. I happen to believe communication is important, but not the key. I've always been like that. Because when people say communication, they're assuming that if you communicate, and this goes along with what Monica was saying, was that people always communicate. They communicate non-verbally, they communicate verbally. But if you communicate verbally about what I like, what I don't like, so that doesn't mean the other person is going to communicate with you. Because a lot of times people don't want to communicate, even though they say so, because they realize that if they get down to the nitty-gritty, the finger is going to be pointed at them, and they're going to be the reason why the relationship sucks. They don't want that. Or they're going to realize, hey, if this finger keeps getting pointed at me, she's going to leave me. And that's going to suck. So I think change within ourselves, in other words, a philosophical shift could help. The therapy is a good idea. I think people should go to pre-relationship counseling if we can find a good counselor. I don't know many counselors that are good because I've never gone to one, but I don't know the reputations of any. But that's what I'm thinking. You know, we have to take a look inside ourselves. What are we doing? Now, if the deficiencies aren't there, you know, what else can we do?
Can I
say
something?
The reality is that people, if they're not ready to deal with their deficiencies, they're not going to deal with it. Until they are ready, they won't. And we have to allow people to be, again, I said we have to allow people to be themselves where they are until they're ready, because you can't force anybody to become or overcome anything based on your timeline, based on your own experiences and your own beliefs, hopes, dreams, because that's not their reality. So, you know, a lot of times we're trying to, you know, if people are being themselves, they're not allowed to be themselves because people are judging them. They're judging them for their thoughts, their feelings, their emotions, and this is part of their growth. How do you grow past that if you don't go through it? And so, yeah, you know, sometimes we say, well, at this particular age or this particular stage in their life, they should know certain things. Well, you know, I used to say that too. But again, if they haven't grown up in certain environments with certain beliefs and certain experiences, they don't have that same level of expectation that we have on some people. So, you know, a lot of people can't express themselves and why relationships fail because they haven't grown. They haven't been allowed to grow. They haven't been allowed to know themselves, to be themselves, and grow in that. We're not allowed to do that. We come here, and we already have rules and expectations and sort of fit in this mold, and then we grow up and find out that's not who we are. And then you're rebelling. And so some people continue to rebel 40 years, 50 years, but they have to find themselves. And that's a deficiency that we have to allow people to be and accept those things, because you just can't force people to be who they're not.
Well, I disagree. I disagree. I'm not saying to change. Oh, I'm sorry, Laquita. You haven't spoken that much tonight. Go ahead.
I wanted to a couple of things. I'm surprised, Joe. You did say a couple of things that I do agree with. One of those things was I wanted to be right. I'm shocked myself. I am shocked my own self. So that means that one of us must be growing. I wanted to say something about the communication part first. I know the topic is hurt people. The one thing I wanted to say about the communication part, I still stand by that. But my whole point to that when we were talking about relationships is before you get into a relationship, you have to communicate. You should not be in a relationship with somebody you haven't even taken the effort to have a sit down and talk about some things.
Right.
So that's what I want to mention with that part. Not so much as being in a relationship already and thinking the person's going to communicate. Well, that's not going to happen if you haven't even taken the steps to do the checkoff list. Whatever your list looks like, if you know what you like, if you know what your taste is, you have to have that conversation before there is even talk of relationship.
Right.
This is like if we're going out on a date. If I'm going out on a date, I need to ask some questions because I might not want to go out on date number two, nor less get into a relationship that could lead to marriage. So that's my part about communication. A part about hurt people, I know I came in an hour after you guys were deep into your conversation, but from a standpoint of hurt people, we get to choose. So I've gone through a lot in my life as a victim of medical childhood trauma at the hands of a nurse that left me crippled for life. That situation, like Dr. Monica was saying, there are situations and circumstances that happen in our lives that causes us to act or react a certain way. So while I may not be the aggressor, because my past has meant that I've had to be quiet and not be seen because I grew up as a crippled child. So I may have been a little more passive than somebody else might normally be. Well, I still get to choose that I'm hurt. I get to choose. But first, in order for me to be able to identify what's going on with me, it takes a while for that to happen. I may have a mechanism in my brain, and I'm not a doctor, and I don't profess to be, but there may be a delay switch of sorts in my brain that causes me to act in a certain way, and I am not aware that I'm hurting somebody. Now, once I become aware, whether that's through therapy, and I agree that we all can use some therapy or talk to somebody at some point, while that may mean I've learned now. So for me, I am just now, 49 years, just now saying the name, Grady Memorial Hospital, of the hospital that messed up my leg. Now, it took 49 years for me to say it, not because I was afraid, but because I had to process what was going on, and timing is everything. Now, as far as hurting people, you get to choose. Both people get to choose. I, as the person who's doing the hurting, and I, as the person who's being hurt, I get to choose whether I want to ride that boat with whoever and walk them down that journey to figure out why they're hurting me, or I get to jump ship. So either way, I get to decide. Once I recognize that I am in a position where I am hurting people, typically when people are hurting people, they're already hurting themselves too, and that hurting mechanism, if it's physical, if it's emotional, if it's mental, again, you get to choose. I've been on the end of all three, and I chose that this is not what I want for myself, so let me move on. And as far as being the person to hurt somebody, I don't know. I didn't know, but if I did, then I also got to choose that, you know what, this isn't who I am, and then there, that follows with an apology of sorts. So hurt people do hurt people, and there are people who do it with intention. There are people who do it, and they don't even realize they're doing it. And once they understand what they're doing and the why behind it, then they get to choose to make it right. Some people choose to make it right, and some people don't. And so that's my comment on the topic of hurt people hurt people.
Could I ask the question to Dr. Monica?
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, you may.
Doctor, how are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, what the elderly people say, never better. But for the most part, would you date you?
Would I date me? Absolutely. Absolutely, I would date me.
Why would you date you?
I would date me because, first and foremost, I know who I am. I'm authentic. I love me. I'm kind. I'm giving. I am ethical, with operating the utmost level of integrity. The office, what you see is what you get. There's no pretense. You know, I will be there through thick and thin for the right person, and I thrive on love, loving yourself, loving others, and doing what I believe that brings me joy and peace. And hopefully that same person, that's what I would bring to them, joy, peace, and happiness. And so for the relationship, my relationship with that person is who I am and what we define our relationship to be.
Now, do you offer all of these positions that you are certified in, what you just, you know, qualified yourself to be, is that consistently or will it change?
Oh, no. Who I am, I don't see myself who I am as far as my values, my morals, and my foundation changing. Those are things that are ingrained in me for who I am. There are things that I can adjust.
So, doctor, it's kind of easy for you to identify the right man for you.
No, I wouldn't say. I wouldn't say there is a right man for me.
It's easy for you to identify. It would be easy for you to excuse me, I don't know whether you're married or not, but what I'm saying, it would be, since you are who you are and you know who you are and the qualifications, you know, of your life, you're very familiar with them to the point where you said you would date you. So it should be easy for you to identify someone with the same attributes. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. I agree. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I'm a widow, and I meet somebody that I want to be in my life. I should be at the accountable age, and I should have enough wisdom and knowledge to know when someone is with me or could be with me, or whether someone should just be acquainted with me as a friend, adverse to someone taken into the heart as a wife.
Absolutely.
Now, absolutely. It doesn't mean that the person couldn't mature into the person for me. It doesn't mean that they couldn't. But then I would have to be willing to give that space and time to them for that observation, if that be choice. But I was wondering, you know, since a person, if a person knows who they are and they knows their attributes, then they really shouldn't get entangled with someone that don't present the same attributes, some form or another, or all the way.
Well, no, because you have people who are manipulators, deceivers, and sometimes that's not always easy to spot. So you can get with the wrong person, even though you know yourself, because people are very crafty and cunning. Can be.
But you wouldn't rob a bank, would you?
Oh, of course not.
You wouldn't rob a bank because you know the residuals of robbing a bank.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's a danger, that, right? So shouldn't a person who's single or a widow or looking for someone, shouldn't they be observant enough to know when this is for me and this is not for me?
The reality of should is questionable, because that goes back again to where someone is in their life. What we think someone should, and I'm very cautious on what someone should, because the reality is everybody's not at the same level. And
Doctor, that goes back to my question. Uh-huh. If I'm mature, and I know what I want in life, I know, you know, virtue, I know morals and values, and I treasure that in my life, shouldn't I be experienced enough to know when someone, I don't care how they're sashaying and putting on, but shouldn't it be something on the inside of me, inwardly, to unction me that something is not right?
Oh, absolutely. I think there's always red flags and your instincts and your gut, but we overlook those things. We don't pay attention to it.
Oh, well, then it's really not an innocent situation, you're saying, if a person sees individuals' actions are different from their morals, and they go on with that person, well, then it's not really a they hurt you situation. It was really you put yourself in the position to be hurt, perhaps
absolutely.
Because of Well, where's the point where men and women are mature enough to observe people's attributes, actions, for a while in their practical life?
Well, the problem is emotion. You know, we want to look and see the good in everybody, or that we can change people, or that we can make them into who we want them to be, and that's human nature. And that's a flaw that we have. And so when we think that here's a person that is qualified for us, and you see some red flags, but because there's no perfect person, and we try to work against that person, and it doesn't turn out the way we desire, yes, we have allowed ourselves to be hurt because we've chosen to overlook those things. And that's part of life sometimes, because there is no perfect person.
You want to give
some people the benefit of the doubt.
Who wants to start
it? Nobody does, but that's the reality. We're looking for absolute answers that will absolutely work, and there isn't any absolute answer that will say this relationship with this person is going to work for us.
Yes, it is. It's an absolute.
I don't think. That's my opinion and my view. Now, that's my perspective. Now, someone else's views and perspectives are their views and their perspectives.
I got a solution for the whole piece.
Can I be heard?
Okay. Yeah, Eddie, go ahead. Eddie's out there as well. Go ahead, Eddie. Welcome.
Eddie, good evening, all. What's up, Rev? How's everybody? I really love what Joe said was pretty deep, but what the sister there is emphasizing on is accurate, you know. A lot of people write things about relationships and this, that, and the third, but overall, it still comes down to individuality. The kind of woman that might be the kind of woman for you, Rev, might not be the right woman for me, no matter how much she strives to mold herself into your desire of what you feel, you know, that perfect woman is in your mind, but that might not be the right woman for me. And that's what I feel, you know, the sister is speaking to. You know, she knows what's right for her because of her experiences, so she knows what she doesn't want, what she won't accept, and who has potential. But conversation, demonstration, because out of the mouth the soul speaks. And if somebody says something one day and 3 days later they're not demonstrating that same thing again, then that shows that, you know, they're a liar. So if you don't want a liar in your life, that's flight confirmation, you know. But they could be having a bad day, but if they know themselves enough, they'll speak to that. You know, everything is definitely a two-way street. It's who agrees to get along, to be together, and willing to sacrifice on both parts. That's the real reality of a wholesome relationship. That's all I wanted to say.
I don't think people should rush into intimacy, bedroom festivities. I don't think they should rush into that. If that's the first thing that hits your mind when you look at another individual, you already got a problem. Now, let me just share. I think that observation time should be given. Observational time should be given when you first meet a person. And every single thing that you think that you should know about that individual, then you should ask them, and the actions that you want to see out of them, you should observe them to see whether they're there or not. I think
I want to ask you a question right
like,
there,
Red. A lot of the go ahead.
What about feeling? See, this physical realm, people say a lot of things with words, and sometimes it tends to make us comfortable because of the things we've heard before from individuals, you know, or some of those same things could basically be red flags. But when somebody demonstrates certain things, then you have a feeling, same thing in a conversation. Somebody could be talking and they could be looking you right in your eye, but your spirit or your feelings tell you that this is inaccurate, you know, then you'll know. I say that the feeling is more direct than, you know, those other senses, hearing, you know, and smelling, and just like what you're saying about, you know, that physical, because I totally agree with that. Until you know somebody, you definitely shouldn't touch them, especially for women, because that is definitely alluring. And there's a lot of guys that just want to shoot that gun. And, you know, if they fall for that, that's what brings on trauma and those STDs like Doc always speaks to, you know. And again, sometimes these things bring on trauma in women or men that are looking for Mr. Goodbar, whatever the case may be. So there's a lot of challenges there, and that's why, you know, that conversation and taking your time, intently listening to what an individual says, see how it feels in your own being, in your members, you know, like it says in the Bible, all of that is relative to really getting to know who somebody is instead of who they say they are, you know.
Right.
I yield. But that feeling, let's talk about the feeling, Doc. I mean, Rev.
Well, feelings can be emotions that will get us carried to and fro. If we just, I'm just not rebuttaling, but just if we operate on feelings have got a lot of people murdered and killed. Feelings have gotten people ripped off and robbed. There have been women who got in their feelings and took men, picked men up off the street that they didn't know anything about, but feelings told them they could get fulfillment from that man on the street. Take the man home, while he got them feeling good and they out of their mind, he in their pocketbooks taking everything that they got. They wake up the next morning, they ain't got the money that they had, and they wonder what happened. Feelings. Or feelings can get you somebody in your life that you don't know, period. You just went off of an emotional uprise, you know? And I think that's what happens to a lot of relationships, and that's why a lot of people leave relationships hurt, and they hurt other people because they're still running behind this sensation. And I want this sensation because it gives me fulfillment. A sensation is like a fleeting sense of time. It's for a moment, and after that, it's gone. Well, I don't want to be locked into nobody just for a sensation because they might get tired of presenting. Then what? I need to know the stability, the availability, the wisdom, the knowledge. Can you handle responsibility? Do you have the ability to handle responsibility? Because a woman is a responsibility for a man. A man is a responsibility for a woman. Do you have the ability to handle responsibility? Now, I'm not just talking about sex. I'm talking about life altogether. Can you handle the discipline in me of what I like and how I like it? And can you handle that? Are you stable enough mentally to come into my life and be a part of what I got going on and be a contributor? Am I stable enough? Do I have enough availability to come into your life and be a contributor? Or is it just, I'm looking for a hoochie mama? Well, I don't have to be in a relationship or married to have a hoochie mama. Some independent women have hoochie mama spirits. And since they're not in a relationship, hoochie come out of them with anybody. Some men have lustful spirits. And if they don't have no discipline, anybody goes, whether she be an independent, high-class woman, or whether she be a woman of the night. So I can't just go off feelings. It's got to be some stability. And go ahead.
I apologize, bro, but I was just emphasizing on the spirit, you know, like it says in the Bible, you know, you're tried by the spirit, you know. You could close your eyes and listen to somebody, and if you are in tune enough with your spirit, you know who they are. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about feelings as far as, you know, wooing somebody with words. That's what I was really speaking to, but it's okay.
No, I understood what you were saying, Eddie. But I was just stressing how feelings, people do go off feelings. You have people just run straight off feelings. They meet somebody, and the time they meet it, they go into bed with them. Now,
and that's somebody that's traumatized. So, you know, again, they're not governing themselves. You know, I'm just emphasizing and trying to drive that specific point home. You know, in reference to other parts of being, because just like what you're saying, you could put lipstick on a pig, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you could dress up a wolf, meaning that's masculine and feminine. You could dress up a male wolf, you know, like the old childhood story, Little Red Riding Hood and the Wolf. You see what I'm saying? And Miss Piggy on, I forgot the name of the other thing. Yeah, you could put makeup on something and it looks sexy, but in reality, what is it? But I'm still emphasizing on how things feel, not the emotion, not the alluringness and all of that. I'm talking about specifically the spiritual.
You're talking about
side
spiritual nature, Eddie, about the spiritual aura. If people can be attuned spiritually, that's more than just a feeling. Is that, I think that's what I'm getting from you. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, because you can really tell who somebody is if you govern yourself according to that, you know. And again, just like what Rev was speaking to, you shouldn't have a relay race to the bed, because if you don't know who an individual is and your spirit hasn't given you that information, just like Sis said, a date is fine, because during that interaction, you know, if you agree and choose to, you feel comfortable enough with a man or with a woman to go have a meal, you know, of course, each other have their own vehicles and all of that, then, yeah, you get to see who that individual is, and then you could make that decision whether or not you want to have another dinner date or whatever the case may be with that person, you know. But spirit likes to wait on me. That's all I'm emphasizing on. So you could tell me who you are. But 9 out of 10 times, it just might be somebody different. You know, you might like me because of the way my voice sounds or the way I carry myself, but who are you? You know, a lot of people say what they do for a living, but that's not who you are. That's what you do. You see? So if you're not in tune with yourself, then, you know, it's easy to bump
what
your head.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I yield. It was just that simple. That's all I wanted to say. If you're not in tune with yourself and really knows who you are and govern yourself according to a higher part of being, it's easy to bump your head. You aren't the person. You're not the person today who I met yesterday. You know what I'm saying? Things like that always happen. Okay. So what was you going to say, Joe?
I was going to say you're in tune with what Monica was talking about, because she was talking about self-love. So if you are in tune with your spiritual self, self-respect, which is what I call it, and the self-love, which is what Dr. Monica calls it, then it's better than just the feelings, which is what Reverend Ron is talking about, because everybody responds in life according to their feelings. They want to go with what their feelings tell them, and they don't process the feelings the way they should through the information that either they haven't gotten because they don't want it, or they've gotten the information just don't want to process it because their feelings get in the way. It's called cognitive dissonance, so confirmation bias, rather. So, yeah, and before I forget, I want to say thanks to Laquita for clarifying what she was talking about with communication, because it's certainly what I agree with, you know, because most people, again, with communication, they assume that if you communicate, it's the key, it's going to solve problems, not necessarily. I think what Laquita was saying was that with communication, both people should get information from one another and make rational decisions based upon the information, especially if it's true. That's what I was thinking she was saying. Laquita, am I getting that right?
She had to jump off, so she's going to try and be back on. But,
oh, okay.
She'll be back on. But,
oh, okay.
But Dr. Monica, do you want to respond to what the men have been saying about the last conversation?
I'm just listening.
Oh. But,
I don't have anything to add just yet.
Okay,
I also want to ask her a question.
Go ahead, after Joe. I'd like to ask her a question, but go ahead, Joe.
I also want to say that when Solution presents studies, that it should be listened to. Yes, Monica, you're right about, you know, the statistics may change
Dr.
over
Monica.
Time. Dr. Mm-hmm. Monica, well, thank you, Ms. Mm-hmm. Inez.
You're welcome, Mr. Joe.
Oh, boy. So, you know, but statistics, if they're compiled properly, should be adhered to, should be listened to. You know, well, of course we should question who's doing it and if they're compiled properly.
Right.
But we can't dismiss
right.
We can't dismiss them out of hand simply because, you know, we don't know who the researchers are.
Right. And there are
a lot
of it could be false news. You know, it could be false news and false, I won't say false facts, but, you know, sometimes some people only bring their forefront what they want you to know when there's other studies out there as well that we have not
taken
in nor have we delved into. So I just wanted to say
that's
that.
True.
Go ahead, Eddie.
All right. I want to add one thing to what Joe was saying. You could meet, since you're a man, you could meet a woman from Chicago, from California, and New York, the Carolinas, Florida, New Mexico. All of them, in a sense, will have a different kind of disposition because of their culture in those environments. So sometimes you got to peel the petals back slowly to get a real understanding of who they really are. And that's why, just like what we're all saying about conversation and time, you know, because everybody got defense mechanisms. Sometimes you're meeting that representative. So there's certain times and certain examples and certain environments, hanging out with other people and see the interactions and all of these things because, you know, I mean, I've been to quite a few dinners with different kinds of people, you know, some married, some, you know, dating also and things of that nature. And you really get to see the interaction of that, you know, woman or that man in those situations, you know, be it they know these people or not, it's still an interaction. You know, and that tends to give you clarity, you know, of who they really are. Now, to the good doctor, how do you feel, or what do you say in reference to what I was emphasizing on as far as the spiritual side of being and making decisions in this walk through life, as far as relationships?
Well, again, it has to do with your own spiritual maturity and your belief and what you are in tune to. Because if it was just that simple, then everybody would be with who they should be. Okay? But the reality is that it's flawed, too. That's why we're having this conversation that we're having. And I stand behind, there's no absolute. If there were absolutes, we would all be with and where we're supposed to be. So, you know, again, you have to, again, know yourself enough to understand your own level of maturity spiritually and to be able to discern in other people. Again, that's not absolute either. You can err because we're not perfect beings, and neither are other people. So we're going to make mistakes. You know, we go. I don't know anybody who's been in a perfect relationship and got it right all the time. We're going to make mistakes.
Yep.
We're going to choose the wrong people sometimes. That's reality. Now, how do we learn how to choose the correct person for us? Through our experiences, through our beliefs, through our spirituality, through our connections. And it does have to do with feelings and emotions, because we are, that's our, we are those type of beings. So we shouldn't make, maybe we, no, I'm young, maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we shouldn't make decisions based on emotions. And I say that maybe we shouldn't, because I'm not going to tell somebody what they should and should not do. That's their reality and their experience and their journey that they have to learn on their own journey, not based on my experiences or my views or my thoughts, because everybody's different. Everybody's spiritual walks are different. If it wasn't, we'd all, everybody be on one accord.
Mm-hmm.
Well, doctor,
I just want to say this right quick and then I'll be quiet. I totally disagree with the last thing you said, because we are still individuals, and it's highly impossible, even though we're all intricate parts of the divine, but we are all intricate parts of the divine. Therefore, our mindsets and all of those things aren't the same. You know, you could stir soup with your right hand, and you might be more comfortable doing with your left hand. Therefore, you'll stir the soup with your left hand, unless that favorite hand you're doing something else with. You see what I'm saying? So that's like cookie cutter kind of thing. You know, I just want to say, I'm not challenging you. It's just that I disagree with that, because people are people, and they are who they are, just like, you know, being raised in different environments and families.
I agree.
That goes to culture.
I agree. And everybody, you know, it wasn't a matter of you agreeing or disagreeing. I think everybody is entitled to their own views. Because mm-hmm. that's experience. To me, this is not about agreeing or disagreeing. You're sharing your viewpoint, and everybody on here tonight that's calling in is sharing their viewpoints from their experience. So if for me, something that somebody else says, it's not for me to agree or disagree with personally, because that's their experience and their viewpoint based on their walk through this life. So I don't, you know, I wouldn't do certain things a certain way as someone else, or say certain things to say, but I'm not going to disagree with their point of view, because that's just their view. It doesn't change me. It doesn't impact me. So, and it's not going to change them in their journey. So where they are going, I'm not on that same path, and vice versa.
Well, good doctor. Dr.
Yes.
Moniker.
Mm-hmm.
When do people come to the realization when a person is hurt or when a person has been healed? How do people identify when someone's hurt or when someone's healed or someone freshly going forth in an experience of becoming one with someone? When do people who have experienced life, when do they come to the realization when someone is hurt or when someone is healed from a past relationship? One. Two, should an individual date someone that's fresh out of a relationship 2 months and they had another relationship before that lasted 2 months? And they tell you when they meet you, you say, well, are you involved? Well, me and my ex just broke up a month or two ago. Should you be heretically ready to become involved intimately with this person and they telling you that they just got out of a relationship, shouldn't the person be mature enough to say within themselves, you need to heal first? How can you be ready for a relationship?
Again, we're going on that word should. You know, again, that's almost a judgmentalness because we're telling someone what they should do or be based on our own experiences and our own views. And
no,
so,
I was asking a question. My second part was the should piece, but I asked the question, when will people come to the realization of knowing when someone's healed or when someone's hurt before they take them into themselves for the relationship?
How do you know if someone's healed or hurt when you go into the relationship? That's the question you're asked. Is that the question?
That's what I asked.
Okay. How do you know if someone's healed or hurting before you go into a relationship? The only way for you to know that is to spend time with that person and evaluate and vet them for yourself. You can't go based on what they're telling you and even their actions. And I believe, you know, there's still, when you are hurting or have gone through a hurting situation and you're healed, I think you're going to still have some residuals. You still may have some residuals because those things allow you to be cautious, so to speak, or teachable moments. So you, just because someone tells you that they're healed doesn't necessarily mean they're healed. That's for you to find out because people can tell you anything they want you to hear. So it's your responsibility to vet that person.
Well, shouldn't there be some actions from the person that's healed? And should there be some action from the person that's still hurt?
In the beginning of this conversation when we first started, I said about expectations and requirements. Your should is an expectation. An expectation is not something you have control over. That's somebody else's authority, that other person. The requirements, you own those. That's all you have control over. These are my requirements that I require in the relationship or anything in life. So if these are my requirements and this person isn't meeting that, then I can't be involved with that person. But when you say should, you're having expectations of someone and it may or may not occur. So that should can cause you to be wounded because you have an expectation that could be realistic or unrealistic based on your own viewpoint.
I don't think I was using that word as far as expectation. I was thinking far as at an accountable age. I was speaking more or less on that wise.
But again, at accountable age, everybody's mature at different levels. Everybody's experiences are different experiences. So when we say, okay, somebody at 45 should know better, some people genuinely don't. I mean, that's just my experiences in working with people. Some people genuinely don't know something, even though we think that they should. But if you know their backstory and what they've gone through, then you kind of understand why they aren't where they are. So we, again, the should and the level of maturity, that's still a judgmentalness.
Well, I'm
and
talking
so
about
I went
the
back
real.
To saying, I went back I'm, to saying allowing people to be who they are until they grow into where they are. And I think, I know someone disagreed with me about being yourself and being all that, but you can't change them. The reality is this is who they are. That's the reality, and we don't accept the reality of what is. We want what we want it to be, or the potential that it can be. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, it's not there, and so that's our movement.
But doctor, I was asking, shouldn't there be a difference in the actions the ways of a healed person and a hurt person, whereas a brand new person coming into their lives should look for. That was my question. You know, like you say, you're whole. You're whole. You're not broken. So shouldn't you, being a whole person and not broken mentally, shouldn't you be able to identify in the person that's healed action or the person that's hurt action? Shouldn't you, a whole person, be able to identify the actions between the two? That was my question.
Yes, sometimes you can. Sometimes you can because it's obvious, and sometimes you can't. Yes, a healed person may respond a certain way that may be different from your experiences that you may say is healed, and you may not think is healed.
Well,
don't think we can say everyone is the same, can be evaluated the same. Mm-hmm. I mean, just dealing with people,
right.
I just don't. Mm-hmm. I don't see that in working with people. I know what our philosophy mm-hmm. and what we want it to be. I know what we've been taught in our religiosity, all of that. I know that. But the reality of people doesn't align with that right now. I don't see that. That's
well,
just my experience, my view.
Could you say that people that's been married 80 years, 60 years, 50 years, and they tell you, say, well, we got together right out of high school. Those people identified something within each other
uh-huh.
that uh-huh. told each other that they could love each other a lifetime. And they practiced that peace, right? Now, my question
uh-huh.
again, a hurt person acts a certain kind of way. They're withdrawn and selfish. A healed
uh-huh.
person loves and ready to receive love because they heal. They open. They're going to make you know, hey, I'm here to do good in your life and to be good in your life. That's what their actions will say, their conversation. A hurt person is withdrawn, and they're trying to make up from what they lost in the last relationship. So, therefore, their actions is really to recover loss, not to be in a loving relationship. They want the person
mm-hmm.
for stability if they notice that about them. So it's a difference, and that was my question to you, to people who are whole.
Can I join in for a second, Reverend, and Dr.
Go.
Monica?
Go right ahead.
Okay. What you're asking, from what I gather, Reverend Ron, is all their definitive actions that a hurt person who's been in, let's say, two relationships, they've been traumatized as a result of whatever the particular behavior might be from the other person. They're traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
So you're asking, will that person definitively show behavior which shows that they're still in trauma as opposed to a woman who is healed? I'm going
mm-hmm.
to agree with Dr. Monica in that. Let's say we would expect a person who's healed to be cheerful. We can also see that a person who was traumatized, we would think of her, as you've just said, as being withdrawn. But she may not be. She may be acting cheerful also to cover up the trauma. So I would think it'd be pretty hard to identify any action from whether the person is healed or, well, if a person is hurt, I think you can see it. I think if a person is healed, it may not be necessarily so, and then we have to look
mm-hmm.
for more information. As you've often said on various shows, you have to get, and Eddie has said, you have to get to know them better. So I hope I clarified
mm-hmm.
that, because
mm-hmm.
that's what I'm getting from both of you.
Okay.
Did I clarify it, or did I just confuse things even more?
No, I'm in agreement with what the doctor is saying about, you know, identifying people by their actions and wait to
mm-hmm.
see what they will do and what they won't do, and their perspective is their own. I'm agreeing with that. But I was thinking, you know, let me go another place with this piece. If an individual is disgruntled and hurt, if I'm a whole I don't want to be in a relation with the person. I want to heal the person if I'm whole. Mm-hmm. If a person that's healed I meet and seem to have wisdom and knowledge through conversing and actions, well, that person's mythology is going to be agreeable with the stability of wisdom and knowledge in which I possess. That's what gives the figure. I don't have to walk along beside and hold the hand because something they're already versed in. So we agree and walk together. Whereas on the on the part of the disgruntled and the hurt person, well, then again, they're trying to recover themselves and thinking about their losses and thinking about the time wasted and their experiences that was bad, okay, or traumatizing. Well, I'm going to have to deal with them another way. I can't deal with them in full, I can't go full-fledged in happiness and joy and move along, move forward. I got to deal with some inadequacies because they are not really there yet in a relationship or even to be mentally entertained because they still caught up in their situation and trying to come out of it. And perhaps if they have children and responsibilities, that's even more pressure involved. So they're going to be withdrawn because they are trying to recover, and I can understand that. And perhaps they don't want all their wounds to be shown up front because they do feel like they're good people, but they were just hurt. Well, in indulging in the two, the one that's healed, then we're going to move forward because we agree. We agree because they healed. I ain't been hurt, so I'm ready to move forward, but just with somebody perhaps. I ain't looking for someone that's coming out of a broken piece, but if that be the case and they have stability going forward, then we can move forward together. But the person that's disgruntled and been hurt, I'm going to have the whole person is the person that's going to have to aid in the healing if they want that person in their lives. Or otherwise, they'll be unequally yoked. And you know how that can be with something around your neck and it's more heavier than you are. It can burden, be a burden. So that's why I'm
talking. Yeah. Dr. Monica, I got a question for you. When you're talking about you can't change people, are you talking about specifically with regards to the conversation tonight about people in a relationship that one person should not or cannot change the other person? Or are you talking about one should not try to change another person outside of a relationship?
I'm talking about a relationship. I think that you know, for people are who they are, and you know, some people are adaptable. You can't, you know, we can't change anybody. You know, that has to come from upstairs personally. So
let me ask you this question then. You say you can't change anybody because this is what I wanted to get to. Let's say you had a daughter and she married somebody. The guy was a real charmer. Now she's been married to the guy for about 3 years. Now she's finding out he's a liar. He cheats on her, stolen some money, and has even abused her. Now, if you say you can't change somebody, this is your daughter. Are you going to take her aside and try to ask her what's going on, try to change her, or what are you going to do with her?
Let me touch on this because this is a story that's in my book, Wounds of Wisdom, where you have a situation where you have a daughter and they're in a relationship that you did not approve of, and that you saw danger, that you saw that it wasn't what you believe God intended. When you saw God show you this literally 6 months beforehand, and no matter what you said, no matter what you did, your adult daughter doesn't listen. So the adult daughter walks into this, and what you know that God shows you, all has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you do with that, if you are in that situation, and I'm speaking personally, and you walk in that, and you have seen it where it's torn you apart to your core, where you physically feel like you are dying, where your life, your own personal life is on, you're questioning whether you will live or die. And so see your own child in that. I'm sorry, repeat that.
I would have to ask my thing would go back to why, because you said a moment ago, you said you can't change anybody, and you said that people make up their own minds, and you just have to live with that. Is that what you said a minute ago?
Again, people make up their own minds. You have to live with their choice. Doesn't mean you have to be there and allow them in your space.
Well, it shouldn't kill you. It shouldn't kill you if you allow them to be who they are.
Again,
that's what you said.
That's your choice. We're talking about a child and the question that the gentleman just asked. Okay. So the issue is you have a choice to tolerate or set your boundaries and walk away. That's a choice for your own peace. And
I disagree with that. I have to disagree with that, you know, because...
Well, until you are in the situation and walking it and living it, you have to make choices and decisions that are best for you. Period. So it's not a matter of agreeing or disagreeing. Your life and your experiences and you're living it versus being on the outside looking in, your actions can be different.
Would you try to change your daughter's mind? To try to get her out of it?
No. No.
Okay, that's what I wanted to
know. No. And the reason why is because I can't change an adult when you've tried, when you've given warning 6-7 months prior and they still walked into it and you see everything that God showed you. Sometimes people have to walk through the fire for themselves.
Well, can you turn it around?
I wish I had the power and authority to turn it around.
Well, you do.
Well, I don't see that. Again, you're on the outside looking in. There's so many layers to what I'm saying. You only hear just the portion I'm talking about. If you talk about the years and years and years, there's a difference. And again, I choose to do what's best for me and preserving my peace, not what others think I should do or how I should respond.
I can see where you're coming from, Doctor, because if you've been trying to years before the situation happened and then she did not listen to you and she, by her own choice, got into a very fatalistic type of situation, yeah, I can see you're saying, oh, my God, she didn't listen. However, what I'm gathering from you is that after she's in it, you're still saying, okay, now I can show her that I was right, that her husband is an abuser, is a philanderer, is a liar, and use that as a fulcrum to get her out of it. But it seems to me like you're saying, well, I tried beforehand, she has now made up her bed, let her lie in it. And whatever happens, happens. Now, that's the impression I'm getting. Because I would say, if it was me, and if I had a daughter that didn't listen to me, but now, as a result, is in that kind of situation, yeah, maybe a couple of years prior to that, she's exhausted me. But now I would give it one last try, and then after that, if she still did not listen to me, regardless of the evidence of what's happening to her, how I pointed it out to her, then I agree with you. If there's nothing that I know for sure I cannot do, mm-hmm. then, you know, I can't hit my head up against the wall. But it seems to me that you didn't go the last mile. You let her stay in that situation because you said,
well, it's going on, and I've interacted, and I've done my part. And like I said, this is only, 10 minutes to 5 minutes of a conversation. So, and I've done what I chose to do. I have no regrets of what I did, how I approach it. I did what was best for me. Sometimes, you know, when you're dealing with certain things, it's almost like a drug addict or a somebody who's had some type of substance abuse that's unreachable. Until they're ready, there's nothing you can do to get them off those drugs.
I disagree with that.
From my standpoint of view,
I disagree with that, and I'm not saying to be rebuttal against what you're saying, but my reason for disagreement, it is a solution for everything. It is a way right now where you can turn that situation around that your daughter has gotten herself into, and you could turn it around far as it become a love thing instead of a breakup and a hate thing.
Who says I hate?
No. I use that word, but perhaps I shouldn't have. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to insinuate that you hate, but you, from the way it looks of it, you kind of wipe your hands from it. But my thing is, there is a way that you, yourself, can deal with the situation at hand with your daughter and her husband, and you can turn it around for the good of their relationship with you. But you just got to know how to do it.
Well, that, again, I go back to everybody's at different levels and different experiences and different outlooks. And
love is the same, Dr.
What you have in your favor, I may not. And it also may not be my responsibility or my time to respond right now. It may not be there. And that, again, it is your views versus my views.
No.
And my experiences and my walking in my experiences and you looking at it differently. And I respect that. But again, I have made what works for Dr. Monica, what works for Dr. Monica to survive.
Well, see, that doctor, you say you're a healer. A doctor usually is a healer. I know how to do it.
I didn't say I was a healer. That's, again, people putting words in other people's or, again, the expectation and the choice. I never claim to be a healer. I don't profess to be a healer at all. Those were your judging and judgmentalness of what my title or what I should. Again, should. As I've been saying along, everybody's at different walks, different journeys, different experiences in life.
But isn't love the same?
I don't think so.
Love is not the same?
I don't think so. I think that everyone's views on love is totally different. If it was, we would have more unity. We would have a lot more peace.
People's views and what love is different.
If it's not demonstrated. We say what it is, the reality of it, what love is. The reality of what love is. We're talking about relationships and hurt people hurt. We've been talking about the first, I think, the animal is how you attract, keep, and sustain someone. Love is not doesn't always attract somebody, doesn't keep them, and it doesn't sustain. Not always. Not always.
I wish it did. What does always?
Or maybe we have a few. I don't have an answer for always. I don't have an answer for always.
Well, I do.
I have not experienced it always. Good. I'm glad you do. But I have not experienced an always. I don't know what an always is.
Well, I've had an always experience.
Well, when I say always, when you say always, always mean always, it always is absolute all the time. And I don't think there's anything that's absolute all the time, every time, all the time. That's not my experience. I'm not disputing what you're saying. I'm saying my experience is not always all the time.
Well, mine's is.
Good. I have not.
And Joe's is, and Eddie's is.
That's what mine is, and I don't have any. I know that there are different, most people probably have the same kind of definition perception of love, but love doesn't, we all know that love doesn't last in a relationship, love doesn't solder a relationship together. And again, it goes back to those two, major three reasons that I've talked about before. If a person has trauma, then they're going to resist any kind of assistance because they're going
sure.
to feel, you know, yeah, because I can't trust them. But bottom line, that's what the traumatic person is going to say. The selfish person is going to say, I don't care what they say. I want what I want when I want it. And the person with the unrealistic expectations, if they continue with them, they're always going to be disappointed. So the bottom line answer is I don't think anybody has any real answer. I would like to find out what the answer is. I know what the road is. I know what road we can get on to try to find the answer. And I think we can come close to it. Who knows? Maybe one day I will find the answer. How do you get past a person who is so traumatized? You love them, okay? You try to mold them, train them, show them love, gratitude, and respect and appreciation. And they're wonderful when they're wonderful. But when they're bad, they're not necessarily, you know, bad all the time. But they can get on your nerves, and you know they're doing it because at that time they don't care. And they don't care because of their trauma. And you know they're not a bad person. So how do you get past that trauma? How do you help them heal? How do you heal a traumatized person so that they can love you, trust you, respect you, the same way you love, trust, and respect them? I'm always open to answers. Anybody's got the answer, let me know. You can mail me at imlooking at yahoo.com. So you can always email me there. Yeah. Yeah.
But how do you have the answer? There's no absolute. If that's the responsibility you want to take on, that's your choice. If that person is who you want to be with, then that's what you desire to take on. Then that's what you deal with, and you're there, better or worse, until and if they change or if they don't. If that's your choice.
No, you can't just say that. You can't just say, well, if that's the person you want to take on, deal with it, live with it, let her continue or let him continue the way that they are.
No, you got to do that.
No, I'm not saying, but some people do is what I'm saying. Some people actually do that.
Oh, yes, some people do.
But that is a choice. It's a choice, and that's what
we know
I'm not
that,
saying. I'm not telling you that's what you do. But that's what some people do.
I know. I know
okay.
that. The thing is that there are solutions. They may not be the 100% perfect solutions, but let's say, for example, you've got a wife that is 20% of the time a real traumatized person and displaying it. Whatever she's doing it out of either hate at the time or revenge, petty revenge, or because of the trauma, et cetera. Now, no. You keep saying there's no such thing as absolutes. I disagree. There are absolutes in certain areas. The thing is that if I can reduce that 20% to only 10% of the time where she's, you know, traumatized, that is a huge, that's a 100% improvement. That would be good. That is something which I would strive for. And that's a worthy goal. So, again, email me, anybody who's got the solution.
Well, let me just say this right here. Let me tell y'all a story. It's just short. It's not going to take a long time. My wife that passed, she was years older than I was, and she fell sick after maybe about 8 years, 9 years into the marriage. And the 10th year, it got worse. And sometime, because of her situation, it made her act awkward with me. Now, what made me stay on in the marriage and do what I supposed to be to do and beyond, I would always ask God to give me strength and give me knowledge and wisdom how to deal with my wife, that I don't walk out on her, and he would always share with me, treat her like you would want to be treated if you were in this situation. So I would look at that and I would say, well, Lord knows if I could do this and could do that, I would want someone to really be kind to me and not mean to me and not, you know, selfish with the love because of my situation. But I would want them to love me as much as they did when I was mobile and blah, blah, and so on and as such. So after that talk with God, every time the situation arose, then when she started in that mode, then I knew to apply more love. Instead of getting angry, instead of figuring out why my life is going like this and why am I in this, I learned to apply love. Well, Jesus told us, and I know some of us don't want to talk about that, and that's all right, but he told us, he said, love and kindness have I drawn thee. So I started applying love when she would act a certain way that caused me to feel awkward from being love. I would apply more love. Then I would apply kindness. So it kind of captivated her in another stage after being in the marriage 8, 9, 10 years now. She's still sick, but now I'm captivating her to look for what she's getting. So she don't really have time to go into the awkward feeling because she's looking for me to apply love and kindness. You see, some people, when they have deficiencies and withdrawn, hurt within, and torn apart, self-esteem to the toe, well, then those people sometimes have to have a lot of love and kindness applied to them. But you'll see, as you do it, they'll come out more. And then after a while, they'll get on track with their thinking, and they'll know that they were made in the image of God, and they was not an object to be treated like an animal. But they've been in an animal-treated situation for a long time. So that's why I often also say, do not bring the love that you had in your past relationship or your actions to me because they damaged you. So you don't have to act like you act then with me because I'm not that person. You have to make them see and rehearse reality to people for people to change. Because as you say, Doctor, they don't get it all at once. My wife didn't get it all at once. She was more into her illness and what she couldn't do as a wife and blah, 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 and how it was affect the marriage. Well, I didn't let her stay there. No. The love is still here. It doesn't change because your bodily functions have changed. The love is still here. And my commitment was dear to me because it was before God. And so I wanted to be honest with my vow that I made to God with this woman. Couldn't just throw her aside because she had a deficiency. And I use that just to show you all how that some things, love got to be applied to. Medicine won't get through to everybody, but love will. Kindness will get through to everybody, but the person that's dealing with the person, whether they healed or whether they're not healed, you got to apply love and kindness if you want them to come, draw them, if you want to draw them. And some people say draw, what you mean draw? If you want them to be the loving person that you desire, you first have to show them what a loving and kind person is. By your exemplification, your actions for them, and it'll change even a gorilla.
That's right.
Dr. Monica, before you respond, I'd like to say in 30 seconds one thing. Reverend Ron, when you're talking about some people don't want to talk about God, were you making a subtle reference to a certain heathen on this show?
No. Not at all.
Oh. No, okay. Because if you were referring to me, I'd understand.
if he throws a rock and the dog howls, then I guess it hits the dog that howls.
I love you, redhead. Yeah, right.
You see how
they do me, Reverend? You see how they do me?
It's all love, Joe.
Yeah, that's what my ex-wife said. You know, my when they came to the show. You know, my ex-BTR wife, I divorced her.
Lucy.
Yeah. Lori, that's right.
Well, we have about 12 minutes left in the show, so I want everybody to get last words in before we, because, we could go until for another hour past, but I know it's getting to be midnight at some places and so on and so forth, so we can either go on for another hour or, you know, however long y'all want to go. It's totally up to y'all. So I'm just letting you know what time it is. So it's basically in Dr. Monica's hands because she is the guest of the evening and she has been so, so helpful. I love you guys going back and forth and, you know, she's sticking to her guns and Reverend Ron's sticking to his guns. And so, as long as don't nobody hurt nobody, we're good.
I have about 10 more minutes.
Okay.
About 10 more minutes.
You guys want to keep going? Okay.
I've got 10 minutes.
We got 10 minutes. Okay. I want Dr. Monica I really want her to talk about her book for a few minutes as well before she goes because it's a wonderful book. So if you want to discuss your book and how people can get your book, Dr. Monica.
The book is Wings of Wisdom, and you can get that at drmonicajackson.com. And the book is consists of 7 chapters, 7 wounds, and it was written in 7 days. It wasn't intentional. It wasn't something I set out to do. It came, and I felt like there was just an outpouring where I wrote, just literally flooded. Information just came out, for 7 days, 8 to 10 hours a day, just getting up writing and just typing, not knowing. And that was just a way of purging and releasing and not knowing what that was, and had a few people read it, and they said it must be published. It has to be a book. And it deals with friend wounds, workplace wounds, church wounds, family wounds, marriage and divorce wounds, business wounds, and children wounds. And at the end of each chapter, it has words of wisdom that you can apply, and, you know, dealing with reality. I don't profess to be a biblical scholar at all. I do know that as I was writing this, that certain scriptures came to mind, and, you know, dealing with those scriptures, and then also, you know, how to deal with just life, the things that people are going through. And the book has really taken off with respect to reaching people, meeting them where they are. A lot of people are suffering in silence, don't feel like they have an outlet, can't speak about certain things or can't say things a certain way because it's not nice to say, or they're being judged by what they say, but that's their reality. And if they don't get it out, it will kill them, literally. I always say that silence heals and speaking heals. And if you suppress the things that are hurting you, you will hurt others because you don't have an outlet to get it out. Or you may do what some people do, which is either go into a depression, end your life, or go into some type of abuse. And I know that there was an individual who read the book and said that after she read the book, it stopped her from committing suicide because she felt like she wasn't alone. And a lot of times when you go through certain wounds of life, you do feel like you are alone. People think that because you are, you hold a certain title, you've accomplished certain things, that you shouldn't feel a way, certain way. You shouldn't think a certain way. You shouldn't respond a certain way. But that's not being authentic. And until you're able to release that and get that out, we're talking about hurt people hurt, it's going to come out another way where you will hurt people, where we talked about being withdrawn. And so sometimes people just need an outlet. They need somebody that's going to be real, keep it real, understand and relate, not necessarily to solve the problem, but for them to get it out. And I believe that this book was a way of me purging so that I could move on and also know that I wasn't alone in these wounds, but because I spoke up, that it was allowed other people to speak up and move forward. So that's what the book is about. The book is, I go back and read the book and say, oh, my goodness, did you say it like that? Did you put that in? Oh, my goodness, why did you say that? But I believe I was being obedient to the book. I see the evolution. I see the growth. And I always encourage people to journal and write. Whether you're going to publish that or not, if you journal and write, at least that's a way of getting it out. Now, some people don't want people to see those things that they write. Tear it up. But a way, it's a way of expressing. A lot of times you
releasing.
Can't express some things to other people, but you have to have an outlet. You have to have an outlet. An outlet that's not going to judge, that's not going to tell you, well, if I were you, or you should do, or that's not how it should have been done, you're not supposed to do that. But the reality is that's how that person felt in that time, and they have to heal along their journey in their time. And so I think that that's what the book has allowed people to do. I know several other people said that the book taught them to stop existing and to live. That's the portion where I tell people about loving yourself enough to love yourself. Sometimes you have to make hard decisions and hard choices for your own peace of mind. And sometimes that's all you have is your peace of mind, literally that peace of mind, P-I-E-C-E, that's going to, so you can get the peace, P-E-A-C-E. So that's really what the book is about, being again, get on my website, drmonicajackson.com.
Okay. And the cost of the book is, well, I don't know if you have that or you want to put that out or not, but it's really reasonable, to tell you the truth, shame the devil. So, and it's a two-step process, right, to get the book?
Yes. Yes, when you go on the website, you fill out the order form, and then you go into either your PayPal or Zelle or Cash App, and you send it. And the reason why is so that your information is not compromised. You are in control of your own credit cards, debit cards, and all of that, because there's so much fraud going on online. And that way, when you do it through your own bank or things like that, that it is, you know, more insured. It's not going through a third party on my end. Yeah.
Good. And I know we were going to talk about, or she was going to, or we were going to have a segment on abused men. So hopefully in the future we can talk about abused men. Hopefully all the men on the line will join us. For that session, I'll see when a good time for her to come back and have you all come back as well and join us. I don't know if the Tuesdays would look better than Thursdays, so you all can let me know now, and then we can see what's good for Dr. Monica so that we can get as many men on the line as possible who have been abused, misused, and are confused and, you know, need to be brought back into basically society and not commit suicide, because a lot of men commit suicide that we don't know commit suicide for whatever reason. So I'm going to give everybody about 45 seconds to a minute to give their last thoughts. We're going to start with Joe since he's at the top of the list at the moment, the call list. So go ahead,
okay.
Joe.
Everybody just be safe. Good night. And Inez, thanks for having the topic.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you, Dr. Monica. Go ahead, Dr. Reverend Marshall. Reverend Ron? You might have a separate. Eddie, you up there? Bro, Eddie? It takes him a couple of minutes to come off of mute. Eddie? Can anybody hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
No. Oh, yeah, I can hear you. Okay. So I don't know if they'd have to take another call. So all the men that were on the line, there's still, the calls are still there, but they're not there. But I just want to thank you, Dr. Monica, for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on and at least hopefully answer Joe's questions and his hurt people, because I know that you've answered a lot of questions for me, and now we can go out there and see hung up. So her call dropped. So I just want to thank each and every one of you all for being out there, and I'm going to go through, of course, our announcements. January 22nd, which is this fourth Sunday, Reverend Ronnie Marshall will be speaking to us out of Little Rock, Arkansas. You heard him this evening. And Tuesday and Thursday of next week, the Queen, Ms. Inez says, let's talk about it. We'll have some topics to talk about. January 29th is the fifth Sunday service. We have Pastor W.F. Pry Jr. out of Yakima, Washington will be coming to us. And all of these episodes are at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And then January 31st will be me again, Ms. Inez says, let's talk about it. And then Sergeant Parks will hopefully be coming back to us in February. And again, support Reverend Ronnie Marshall with all of his music, through all of the music media. He has a new album out. A new song, I should say, a new release song called Jesus Has Made Me Whole. And you can look forward to him releasing his video as well. So Jesus Has Made Me Whole is a new single that has been released. So we'd like to go ahead and support him.
Hey, Reverend, you want a heathen in your video? Oh.
You're so bad. So bad. And to keep Let's Do It Radio on the air, you can donate the Cash App to $ANAISEVALCOUR or to Venmo at MZ-INEZ or Suzelle. And we're also open for sponsorships. And so if you want to become a sponsor, please hit me up on Let's Do It Radio at gmail.com. And again, in case you miss an episode, you can always go back and listen at www.blogtalkradio.com/Let's Do It Radio on demand. And just go ahead and peruse what's out there and take a listen, because, I mean, we've had some really, really, really good episodes, not because I brought them, but because the people have been on the line and talked about what's been on their chest. And I thank you, Joe, for asking me to bring this topic, because it seemed like it brought a lot of people together and hopefully cleared up a lot of questions people had answered, because I had people in the background texting me and talking to me through text and what have you. So we got a lot of listeners out there. So, yeah, so I appreciate you asking and bringing that topic. Thank you.
Well, let me say this. Anybody who does that, who does have a topic, you can't present it to Inez, because she will, if she likes it, and most of the time she does, she will present it as the topic on her next show, or the show that, that comes up in the near future. So those of you who do have topics, issues, email her, text her, and, you know, it's a good shot that the issue and topic that you bring up would be the topic and issue of a forthcoming show. Because she's done it before. Tonight, but before.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, like I say, things I don't know what I'm going to present until, you know, sometimes even the week, whatever, is maybe on my chest or bothering me. So it's always good to hear from the people who are out there that are listening, to let them know that, hey, you are very special to me, and that I appreciate you and look forward to hearing from each and every one of you. So, you know, don't stop listening. And like I said, you can text me, email me, call me. What else is there? Email me at letsdoitradio@gmail.com. And, you know, we can talk about it and get it off your chest, because, I mean, there's a lot of things that are out there, a lot of subjects that are out there that are bothering people, and people want to know and have more information. If I could find
you'd be surprised. Mm-hmm. I've had about 1,000 texts in the last month about you.
Okay.
And they say, Joe, tell Dr. Red to stop threatening to mute you. 1,000 texts.
They didn't.
Can you?
No, I don't think they said that. I don't believe that in the least bit.
Are you kidding? No, I don't get one. Please, my number is not available, so I don't get any texts.
No, it's not.
Except for,
I know. I already know. I know. Would you send your email first? Just leave me alone at gmail.com.
Yeah, no, I said I am looking at gmail. Yahoo.com. Yeah, just leave me alone. Just leave me alone at yahoo.com. You can email me there.
Right. You are so wrong. You are so wrong. But
I am. I want
to stop you. Have I? The only time I mute you is when there's a lot of noise in the background. That's basically the only time I mute you. It was when I hear a lot of noise in the background. It may not be.
Yeah, but there's a lot of times you would like to mute me. Yeah.
And I have the power at my fingertips.
See what I mean? There you go again. Reminding everybody about who's the boss. I know that is your show, Doc Red. Good.
The gentleman who I work for, he says, whose name is on the front of the store? I said, okay, fine.
Yeah, that's true.
But,
I know whose show it is. I don't try to take over your show.
No, you do not. I appreciate you engaging and, you know, coming on at the time you come on and so on and so forth. So I was glad to see you were on early today.
Oh, by the way, how was the reaction?
Yes.
Do you remember that time when we had on Joe from North Carolina versus me?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get any text or any kind of reaction to that? Because I thought it was a good show on politics.
Hold on a second. I can go back and look, take a look and see. Maybe. System must act right.
That was a long time ago. You don't have to spend time doing it now.
Oh, it doesn't take long. I mean, I just
okay.
Because it was Joe versus Joe, I think is what it was called, right?
Right.
Joe versus Joe. Uh-huh. Let me see what comes up. So we've had a lot of people just going back and listening to a lot of the shows as well. We had eight
too
people
bad,
go back and listen.
No, not about listening. Did you have any kind of text or any kind of reaction from people telling you about the show?
If they did, that was a while ago. He was supposed to
be
sending me something. You know, he was supposed to be sending me something. I'm still waiting for him to send me something, but that's okay. I'm not even worried about, you know,
I was hoping.
So
I was hoping that T would show up. Because I wanted to ask her some questions, hoping that it wouldn't be too invasive of her privacy, because she would be the one who could explain what it would be like to be inside a relationship long-term that didn't work out well, you know.
I was in for 9 years, 9 days.
You were? I didn't know that. I wish you would talk about it sometime without it invading your privacy, talking about why.
And
you know,
I do.
You still have faith. No, you say, not to any real degree on this. You talk about
I say,
has been number
one and
has
been one and has been
and has
two.
Been two. Oh, see what I'm saying? Okay. All right.
But no, I mean, you know, that's passed. So I mean, hey, it's not going to hurt nobody. It may help somebody, for all we know. You never know until you talk about it.
I would ask in-depth questions like, why would you stay in a relationship where you know that it's bad? There's no way of getting around it. There's no way of healing it. The only way out is to get out. But there are a lot of women who stay in those kind of relationships. I've always wanted to know what were the specific dynamics that motivated them.
That motivated somebody to get out or to stay in or both?
No, to get out, we know. But to stay
in a
relationship, you know, that's what I would be interested in. Because I've never been in an abusive relationship. You know,
It wasn't abusive. It just was, it was non-producing. Let's just put it like that.
All right. Let's put it like this. The love was lost after a few years. Then why would women or men stay in a loveless relationship?
We'll talk about it. I saw this on Clubhouse. It says, I love you, but that doesn't mean I won't hurt you.
Oh, that's true. Oh, but I'm glad you brought up Clubhouse. Since you're on Clubhouse, do you ever have any Clubhouse activities that I can go to? Because I set up
not.
A Clubhouse, but I didn't. I never went to it. I set up a Clubhouse show, but I never went to it.
Because
I went to
I
it, but it was
really
late, so they didn't let me
show?
Go in.
Oh, okay.
Neither. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yes, I do. Because I'm so busy, I don't. I look and see and get topics and stuff from them too.
I set up a show for 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. I got there something like 9:03, and it seemed like I was locked out. The show wouldn't start, so I didn't know if I was doing something, but I just I didn't press the right button. What happened? I don't know what happened.
I would ask. I'll ask Laquita because she has the book slams on Tuesdays and Thursdays a lot of times. So I can ask her.
Oh, okay.
You know, how do you set up one? Because she's very, very.
Well, I set it up.
What do you call it?
But when I got there late, I couldn't open up the show. So I wanted, you know, I didn't see an explanation as to why I didn't open up. You know, with Block Talk Radio, if you're late, you can still call in. The show was still operating. You can call
that.
You know, but at Clubhouse, I didn't see that that availability.
Okay. I see. I don't know. I just go and look because a lot of times those people, they just cuss too much for me.
Yeah.
I want to go on a show
where they say a whole lot of profanity.
You would.
Yeah, so then if you're there, you go, oh, no, these, oh, God, please, no, don't.
I just silently leave. I just silently leave, so that's what I do. But you already
can you recommend,
know, you know.
Can, I know. Can you recommend any show?
I would just go to the Book Slam. That's the ones that I like. And then another lady that I know, she has the ones on wealth type of things and finances and what have you. I mean, they have some pretty good shows out there, but one of them was, I think, for almost a whole weekend, 48 hours or whatever, straight. That was a good one.
Oh, yeah?
I can't remember what it was about, but, it was a good one. It was a deep topic, really deep topic. Don't ask me what it was about, but it was deep. Because it was going on for so long because I had gone on it and then I had gotten off because I had to do something and I came back and it was still going. So it was like because it was like 36 hours when I was into it and then it had even kept going even for another maybe day. So it was at least, I think, 48 hours. Yeah. It was a deep one. It was a really deep one. I can't remember what it was about, but it was like, dang, because I had gone on a walk. I had done exercises and all that kind of stuff and listened to it while I was doing other things. And it's like, dang, it's deep. It was interesting, very, very interesting. So I want to thank Dr. Monica Y. Jackson, each and every one of you who was online in the chat room, texters, and just the whole worldwide listening audience for joining in. And if you've got something on your chest, don't keep it to yourself. Join us on Tuesdays and Thursdays on Miss Inez Says. Let's talk about it. We might just discuss your topic. If you email me at letsdoitradio@gmail.com, and if there's anything you want to talk about. And I have been your hostess for the evening, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Velcro Designs, hostess of the evening, hostess with the mostest, but not really all that. Facebook and Instagram. And the thought of the evening, which I had out there before, is it's not what others think of you that matters. It's what God knows. When he first thought of you, I'm sure as a conqueror, a champion, an overcomer, or even a son or a daughter, are a few of what come to mind. And these are from J. Rick Rollins II, Random Thoughts, 30 Thoughts While Thinking Out Loud and Collecting My Thoughts. By Rick Rollins, and you can find that on textbookx.com. So I want to thank each and every one of you again for this evening that you joined me and spent with me, and it was not in vain. Hopefully you all got something out of hurt people. I even had some things ready in case I didn't have anybody for this evening, so we can even go to part two, maybe. I'll see. But I can even read it to you what I had. It was a lot of stuff, but
no, that's
love
all right.
Can only bite me.
No. Okay. bite me. That's one of the recommendations. That's what you got from the website. In case of a relationship that's going sour, just say bite me. I understand. That's the way therapists work. They say, "How do you feel?
Bite me."
Yeah.
Bite me. No.
Bite.
But No, it says love can only be experienced through our capacity to be vulnerable and through accepting the vulnerability of others. Fortunately, most of us do not have the willpower to achieve this most dangerous form of refusal. We still remain hungry for connection to others. Most of us have the ironic good fortune of knowing that we are hurting. We have not been able to conjure up full-blown willpower to block ourselves from caring about others. Nevertheless, the other defenses of resignation, defiance, and compromise can create great pain in others who would love us. The solution to our willpower is willingness. The willingness is expressed in the courage to become vulnerable again. Vulnerable, that's the word I'm trying to say. It requires a return to our original hopes, our original courage, and, of course, to the origin of our defensiveness and pain. But becoming aware of our defensive stances, admitting their origins, and acknowledging our need for change, we can take the steps we need to heal. The process of change through admission can let us be loved again and let us love again. Healthy relationships require that a person be 100% emotionally involved. Most importantly, it lets us become willing to hurt again. Love hurts. Those people who rediscover that love is worth the pain also find that they hurt far fewer people along the way to living fully again because they can love deeply again. So that's our show for the evening. Thank each and every one of you. I'm going to play Whitney Houston, Why Does It Hurt So Bad? And that will be the end of the show. Thank you, Joe, for giving me that topic. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks for presenting.
Have a wonderful evening. Oh, you're welcome. And join us on Sunday with Reverend Ron Marshall.
Yeah, I'll be there.
For the fourth
right,
Sunday.
Yeah.
I'll
be
okay.
there first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll take up the first pew.
I was going to say you're going to be on the at the podium, right? Welcoming everybody in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
All right. You have a good evening, and we'll talk to you again.
You too.
You
all right.
Much. You have a good one. Okay. Good night.
Good night.
You so silly. And come on. Why does this do this to me? Alrighty then. Mm-hmm. It's one of those evenings.
Hurt people.
Let's see if we can get this ready.
Something wonderful to me.
good night, and let's not let it hurt like, as she said. So, good night.